Hey, it's me, that guy from that thing you're about to hear. Thanks for listening to the Todd Bromelkamp Show podcast. How'd your team do with the draft? 319-366-1600. Welcome in. It is a Monday edition of the Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. 402 on a Monday, to be exact, presented to you by the good folks at Randy's Flooring. You can find them here in Cedar Rapids or on the Coralville Strip. They've been Eastern Iowa's flooring leader for over 40 years. 3 hours of great programming for you until 7 o'clock tonight. We've got Rob Domofsky coming up in about 15, 20 minutes. He will give us a perspective on how the Green Bay Packers did over the weekend as the Packers finished up the 2019 NFL Draft. Chris Emma of 670 The Score in Chicago will be with us to approach things from a Bears perspective, and Steve Batterson from the Quad City Times stopping by tonight in the 5 o'clock hour, as well as the Hawkeyes put the wraps on their spring football practices Friday. We'll hear a little bit of what Coach Kirk Ferentz had to say afterwards as well. All that and how Game of Thrones ties in with the 2019 NFL Draft. We're not completely living in a bubble here on the Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. But first, Alex, we've got tickets to Hairball July 6th at Veterans Memorial Stadium, the home of the Cedar Rapids Colonels. Going to be giving away a pair of tickets to that concert over the course of the next 3 hours. So keep the number handy, 319-366-1600. We will give you an opportunity to take those tickets off our hands right here inside the 4 o'clock hour. Kyle Mann, our producer, along with us on a Monday. The draft is over.
It is.
And we're already talking about the 2020 NFL draft.
That's not surprising.
Because
do we have a way too early mock draft out already?
The good folks at The Athletic, not Scott Docterman, who covers the Iowa Hawkeyes, but Dane Brugler,
who's
been a guest on this program a number of times in the past, has written a mock draft for 2020, and he's got two Hawkeyes going in the top 10. We're going to get to that coming up.
I can name one of them, but I'm interested to hear who the
other. I think you could probably name both of them. We'll get to that in the 5 o'clock hour. Four Hawkeyes, two Iowa State players, no surprise, drafted over the course of the 3 days. Lots of free agent signings. Nick Easley of Iowa going to Buffalo. Keegan Render, Matt Nelson, Ross Reynolds, Sam Brinks, Jake Gervais, Kyle Groneweg, and Parker Hesse all getting opportunities with NFL franchises. You had six players from Iowa State that are going to have an opportunity to go to rookie mini camps as well, including Mike Warren, who fell off the face of the earth, completely overshadowed by David Montgomery. Mike Warren gets an opportunity with the Cincinnati Bengals. And not to be completely overlooked, but UNI has three players, including Eli Dunn, who gets an opportunity with the Atlanta Falcons, and Austin Eartham, going to be have a chance to kick for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Elias Nissen, I believe, is the other one.
Going to the Bears.
Going to Bears not, minicamp.
Not the player everybody's talking about with the Bears
this
weekend.
Let me ask you something. How does a team with no first or second round pick win the draft?
Name me a team that had a better draft than the Chicago Bears.
319-366-1600.
I'd like to say we have all night. We have 3 hours. The Bears, I think, are the big winners here, and maybe we're guilty of being myopic here because we tend to focus on the teams in the Midwest, and the majority of the listening audience here in Eastern Iowa are Bears fans, but nailed it. Didn't have a first-round pick. Nailed the draft, in my opinion.
This is a team right now with a plan, and it just feels so weird to say that about the Bears.
As opposed to the team we're going to be talking about with Rob Domofsky coming up in about 15 minutes.
Yes, the Green Bay Packers. It seems like people are pretty hot or cold on whether or not they drafted well, and there doesn't seem to be much in between. But from the Bears fans' Packers fans' perspective, there weren't a lot of people that like what the Green Bay Packers did. But the Chicago Bears, they didn't have a first or a second round pick. Their first round pick was basically Khalil Mack. Their second round pick was the guy they traded up for last year in Anthony Miller, who looks like he's going to be a franchise receiver for a long time to come if he can get that shoulder healthy. They get to the third round and they see that, you know what? We need a running back. And we need a bell cow running back, a guy who can do it all. Not just Jordan Howard, who can run between the tackles and can't catch. That was the biggest knock against Jordan Howard. He just doesn't fit in Matt Nagy's system. Why don't we get the best zone scheme running back in the draft? A guy who, you know what? I wouldn't have blamed a team in that fold for trading back up into the late first round and getting David Montgomery. I think that highly of him. His ability to do everything. I'm not worried about his top end speed. He is good enough at everything to be a very good running back in the NFL. And that was their missing ingredient. That's all they needed on the offensive side of the football. A three down back with the ability to catch the ball and pick up the blitz. And that's exactly what they got. This offense all of a sudden is 100% reliant on whether or not Mitchell Trubisky can continue to develop. Because that Pro Bowl quarterback, I know he was a Pro Bowler, that all-pro quarterback is sort of what they're missing right now. They think that they have it. They think that he can become that. But it seems like a really, really good time to be a Bears fan because that's one of the most complete rosters in the NFL right now. There are no glaring holes. None.
Your thoughts on the Bears draft of David Montgomery. I'm particularly interested in hearing Hawkeye fans who are also fans of the Bears' reaction to this, because this is always interesting to me. I find that most people completely drop the college allegiance the minute that their pro football team gets better.
Yes.
Is it an Iowa State guy? I don't care. It's going to make the team better. I root for him.
He's really good.
Exactly. 319-366-1600. Somebody on the text line saying the Patriots had a better draft than the Bears.
Well, that... we always say that about the Patriots because they're the Patriots. But what about that draft did you like? I know that N'Keal Harry is the guy they draft in the first round, a wide receiver out of Arizona State, but I'm not saying that it was bad. I'm going to wait and see. But if that wasn't the Patriots, if that was the Denver Broncos who took exactly the same players that the New England Patriots selected, what grade would you give them? If it was the Denver Broncos instead of the New England Patriots taking exactly the same players, would you be saying the same thing?
No, of course not.
Right.
Because Bill Belichick's a genius.
Correct.
And John Elway, well, the jury's still out.
But everybody loved the Denver Broncos draft.
I'm having a hard time wrapping my head around what Green Bay did. And again, we've got Rob Domofsky of ESPN's NFL Nation, who covers the Packers, set to join us coming up in just a little bit. Kyler Murray going number one overall to Arizona, even now 3-4 days later, is still the talk of the town because Josh Rosen is now a member of the Miami Dolphins. And as they discussed on the Dan Le Batard show earlier today on ESPN National Radio, part of Josh Rosen's crime appears to be that he's intelligent, that that's held against him.
Did you see the quote that was released earlier today about that very same thing from ESPN Arizona on WQAM? Apparently people within the organization were concerned that he had outside interests, and when asked about what, quote, environmentalism, he's really into the environment. He asked Adidas to make his shoe out of recycled plastic. Apparently that was sort of a knock against him from within the organization.
This league, it's out there and it's blatant for anybody to see. The things that the NFL prioritizes and the things that it seems to look the other way on. If you are intelligent, if you have other interests outside of football, it's held against you. If you perhaps have recreational drug issues, even a question of it, it's held against you, even though there are parts of the United States in which that particular substance is sold legally and consumed legally. But domestic violence,
we got to stop and see
whether or not we want to put him on the restricted list or not. We have to still think about this. And we were talking in the office earlier today, the Titans taking Simmons out of Mississippi State. Joe Rexroad, who is now at the Tennessean, a fantastic columnist who for years was covering Michigan State sports at the Lansing State Journal. Joe Rexroad completely lit up the Tennessee Titans, his hometown NFL team, his beat for taking Simmons at, was it 19?
Yes, pick number 19. Correct.
Who's got all of this litany of issues.
He was caught on video his senior year of high school striking a woman.
They addressed it during the draft. They showed the video during the draft. And that's still not enough.
Well, and that's the thing that gets me in this case, because what do we hear about when a team looks into a player's off-the-field life? You hear, okay, well, we did our research. We are just making sure it doesn't happen again. We've talked to a lot of people, and we've investigated everything from eight. We have all our ducks in a row. But as soon as somebody has failed a drug test or two, it's, we got no use for this guy. He might get suspended. And that's the bottom line in this league. It's, are you healthy enough to be on the field? Are there any hindrances to you being on the field? If the answer to that is yes, they'll take a look at you, whether or not you have skeletons in the closet or not. But as soon as something possibly gets in their way, gets in a player's way of being out there, it's over. They look the other way very quickly.
Mike from Marengo on the Hertine and Stocker Jewelers text line. Speaking of recreational drugs, are you guys doing anything special for Willie Nelson's birthday today? No, we're not celebrating Willie. He's
happy birthday, Willie.
He has another studio album coming out, a brand new album coming out this summer. I think he's got over 80 albums. I think it was today 79 for Willie. The guy just keeps going and going and going and going. And you don't need to necessarily ask what's his secret, because I don't think it's a secret when it comes to Willie Nelson. 366-1600. The NFL, man. I just, this draft and the Tyreek Hill story, which sort of blossomed at the same time as the first round was getting underway, it again sort of causes me to take pause and look in the mirror and ask myself whether I really want to be complicit in all of this, because we as consumers, by continuing to support this, we're all complicit.
Yes, we are. We are.
And I don't think any of us really care.
No.
Some of us, it bothers some of us, but not to the point where we will stop consuming the product. And again, it just is absolutely amazing to me. And it goes back to the conversations that we had on Friday about Tyreek Hill. What's the major concern here among people in that organization? The same thing is going to happen that happened with Kareem Hunt. They're going to, quote unquote, do the right thing, even though they don't want to. And they know, and their fans know, that another organization is going to come along and snatch him up. It may be 6 months, it may be a year, but if the opportunity presents itself, they're swooping in. They're taking him. And so the Chiefs, well, what do you do? Well, we've got to do the right thing. We've got to make it look like we have a conscience, because there are a lot of people out there, especially female fans, who are hoping to see action taken here. But you know this league, they don't hide anything from us as consumers. Everything is out there for us to see. What matters to them, what doesn't matter to them. And at the end of the day, it's all about winning. And you see guys drafted in the first round that have major question marks. And then Josh Rosen, a year after getting drafted, is on the move, partly because he's a little too smart for the NFL. I don't really like him in the locker room. Thinking of, as Ed on the text line points out, what an unforgivable crime caring about the environment is. Shame on him. He should just go out and worry about throwing passes and hitting his receivers in stride. They want machines.
Right.
They don't want human beings.
No. And I don't know if you caught it on the gym class. The podcast is available at kgymradio.com. But Dan Shanka of Arlad Scouting Services was talking about Montez Sweat from Mississippi State and why he fell. And he said bigger than the heart condition was the fact that he failed a couple of drug tests having to do with marijuana while he was at Michigan State and Mississippi State. Which is interesting because that he said that's the biggest reason he fell. And once again, Jeffrey Simmons, his teammate, was drafted 7 selections prior to him, who once again was caught on video striking a woman.
I see, you know, a broken clock is right twice a day. The Redskins somehow managed to have a really strong front portion of the draft. Let's head to the phone lines, 366-1600. Do we not have time?
He's still on the other side of the glass.
Oh. Who? He's not on the phone with him.
Oh, well.
So go to Rob in Center Point.
We're having some problems with our phones.
My apologies.
And there we go. Now we have Rob in
Center apologies.
Point.
Rob in Center Point joining us on the program. What's up?
Hey, not that it's as bad as domestic abuse. But my question is, to loop back to Tiger Woods, if what he had done during his golf demise had happened if he were an NFL football player, would he still be with the team? I got no opinion either way, but I just thought it was a thought. I'll listen and hang up.
So if Tiger Woods were an NFL player, would he still be with an NFL team?
See, that's a great question, Rob, because the thing with Tiger Woods, the biggest part of his downfall, no matter how people want to bring this up, was his injuries. So if it were just the drugs and the infidelity, absolutely. But since
his
body was falling apart,
I don't
think so.
The NFL loads those guys up on horse tranquilizers so they can go play. So, Plus, if you want to equate the star power, if this isn't just third string linebacker Eldrick Woods, if this is like starting quarterback Tiger Woods, he's still got a job.
And what they would have done instead of trying to get him healthy and giving him time off to heal, you just said it, Todd. They would have loaded him up with horse tranquilizers and telling him to get back out there until he could probably barely walk anymore. That is the reality of the National Football League.
Everybody thought that Colin Kaepernick was going to take this league down. 2 years ago, we were talking about the NFL was on its last legs, that people were leaving the sport in droves. They weren't watching it anymore. Do you see how many people were in Nashville, especially on Thursday and Friday for the first 2 days of the draft? The NFL is like some character out of Game of Thrones. You can't kill it.
You know which character that is?
Something about Littlefinger's dagger or something. I don't know. Look, I'm walking a fine line here because people are getting really upset about having the show spoiled. I don't watch it, but it seems 50% of my timeline on Twitter was people tweeting about the show, and then 50% of the people on my timeline were tweeting about having the show spoiled by the other 50% who watched the show. And I've been over this a number of times. My personal take on this is, the world does not stop and start for anybody at their convenience. TV show is on at 9 o'clock or 8 o'clock, whenever it is, and you're really into it, watch the darn show at 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock. After that, everything's fair game. And you got people today, well, the Avengers movie's been out for like a week. people are complaining about spoilers. Can people not talk about a movie that they went and saw?
No, you have to. You have to take consideration for the people who
haven't
seen
it. And what if Tiger Woods was a member of the Avengers? No, I digress here. But I'm fascinated by this because several years ago, I would have been tempted to come in here and take a giant dump on Game of Thrones. I've never been into sci-fi, and it just doesn't do anything for me. And the older I get, the more I realize we all have things that we're into. And if you're into Game of Thrones, that's cool. Not everybody is, and as long as you're not fighting with me about me not being into it, we're cool. Go do your Winterfell Thrones.
King's Landing.
And don't get too inside baseball here with me, but you do you, I'll do me, and everything's fine. But it's the people out there that are complaining that want the world to come to a standstill because it's a... I've had people before who have said, don't spoil the game for me. I'm DVRing it at home.
Then you it's probably shouldn't be listening event. To sports radio if you don't want the game spoiled for you.
I can't imagine having the ego to think that the world should stop and start at your whim because you'd rather go do something else and catch up on the game on DVR. Well, I don't. No spoilers, please. That's a hell of a show last night, wasn't it, Kyle? I mean, she killed him. Or did she? 319-366-1600. 424. Kyle's going to come in here. He's going to be mad at me. He watched, though. He watched. I'm not
He's
spoiling
cool.
anything for him. Kyle's going to have a big board update for you on the other side of this break, and then Rob Domofsky of ESPN's NFL Nation, who covers the Green Bay Packers, will be with us on this sad, sad broadcast, the first show after the Battle of Winterfell. 3193, is that what it's called? I know, I'm just trying to connect with the audience. 366-1600, back with more after this.
When I walk in the bank, there's two or three people that say, "Hey, Pat, hi, Pat, how you doing? Thanks for coming in today." That's what makes a person feel special. Cedar Rapids Bank and Trust has made the commitment to me and the other union trades in town to be that union bank.
Is it the "how can we help you" feeling Pat Loeffler and the members of Carpenters Local 308 get every time they stop by Cedar Rapids Bank and Trust?
They've been there for me every single time that I've asked them. It's a hometown feel. You have a place that you can come in and sit down and talk with somebody on a personal level. That means a lot to my members. I work with Brittany. I work with John Rodriguez. I've worked with numerous people at Cedar Rapids Bank and Trust over the years. You're just not another number to them. You're a face and a name. They know you.
Or is it the cookies?
Oh, my goodness. I put them in top, at top of the line. I hit their cookie counter before I leave the bank every time.
Cedar Rapids Bank and Trust. Meet them at peopleyoucanbankon.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Before a lot of breweries knew the difference between a hop and a scotch, we were already creating our now classic beers. At Third Base Brewery, we've been refining our brews for over 20 years with perfection in every pour. And our All Your Favorites with a Few Surprises menu is just as tempting. That's why people always come back to gather at Third Base Brewery. After all, at Third Base, you're practically home. Stop in, Third Base Brewery, corner of Blair's Ferry Road and Sea Avenue in Cedar Rapids.
There's one.
I see it.
Another.
See it. Didn't see that one.
Potholes are just waiting to damage your ride. If you hit one, it can mess up your alignment, shocks, struts, and suspension. So if your vehicle has a disagreement with a pothole, have Linder Tire take a look at it. They can make sure it's all right or fix any problems that annoying pothole caused. Linder Tire in Iowa City, North Liberty, and Grinnell. See them at lindertire.com.
Sunshine, grass, beer,
baseball.
You call that a strike?
Best seats ever.
Best seats ever.
Home run, high five.
Twins tickets.
That's hit a long way.
Twins tickets. Get them now. Twinsbaseball.com. Tune in to KGYM Fridays during the gym class for the announcement of our Athlete of the Week. Proudly brought to you by Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 of Eastern and Central Iowa.
After a sweep over the Orioles, the Twins stay home. First of four with the Astros comes your way on Monday night. Hi, this is Corey Provis, Jake Odorizzi for the Twins, and Justin Verlander, who was great against the Twins in Houston last week. He'll throw for the Astros on your home for Twins baseball.
Tonight at 7 on 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
427 and welcome back in. And I think Ed has stumbled into something on the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line, but the knock on Tiger Woods going back to Robin center point. If all of this had gone on and Tiger Woods had been in the NFL, the knock would be that he got beat up by his wife. And you'd have anonymous NFL executives that would be saying that that meant he was weak because he got beat up by a woman. But and you, everybody knows that that's exactly what would happen because we saw the old Coleccio Semele scouting report from several years ago that said, well, he was raised by women. You got to take that into account. He may not be that strong. He was raised by women. And then it's the old Fry gif from Future. Shut up and take my money. We can't get enough of the NFL. The NFL can't do anything to drive us away, except maybe spoil Game of Thrones. If Roger Goodell came out tomorrow and said, I've got the are there three more episodes? Roger Goodell comes out tomorrow and he's got the ending of Game of Thrones.
Yeah, then people
will that's the only thing that could watching. Turn people. Be turning like White Walkers. I don't know. I'm just making things up. I'm just throwing it out
good.
There.
That
Am I
good.
Close?
That was close.
Ed on the text line, Kyle wants to know what you thought of the battle last night. And I don't think he's talking about any baseball game.
The battle cinematically was great. The storytelling, the storytelling was not perfect, but the episode was awesome. It was the greatest thing I ever saw.
The greatest. You hear
the guy on the wheelchair still alive?
I'm not going to say.
Is he alive? I want to put my money on him. I want to bet on the guy on the You can bet online on who's going to wind up on the Iron Throne. And I'm thinking, how can you? Somebody out there knows the answer to that. You could make a lot of money on that if you knew the right people. And all of this ties in because in the 6 o'clock hour tonight, we're bringing you George R.R. Martin's thoughts on the 2019 NFL draft. Stick around. It's going to, well, I can't say it's going to be worth it. I'd be lying to you people.
They were good thoughts.
You can hold that against me. If I played in the NFL and I lied to you, you couldn't hold it against me. You'd still love me. Oh, it's the NFL. He just lied to my face. He said the show was going to be worth it. George R.R. Martin, who's apparently a huge, huge New York Giants fan. Oh, and he's got
guy.
Thoughts. He's got thoughts on Daniel Jones. Kyle has thoughts on Game of Thrones. And a big board update brought to you by our friends at Alexander Lumber. You can find them at 2802 Independence Drive in Iowa City. That's their temporary location. Big board update, numeral uno.
Yeah, with the dust settled from Winterfell and from the NFL draft, let's run through all the landing spots. TJ Hockenson went 8th overall to the Lions. Noah Fant to the Broncos, 20th overall. David Montgomery went in the 3rd round of the Bears. Hakeem Butler in the 4th round of the Cardinals. Anthony Nelson shortly after, also in the 4th to the Bucks. Amani Hooker shortly after that to the Titans. Nick Easley signed a deal to study under Cole Beasley in Buffalo. Ross Reynolds is heading to San Francisco. Keegan Render to Philly. Matt Nelson is joining Hockenson in Detroit. Parker Hesse will also try out for Detroit and Kansas City. Jake Voss will try out for the Raiders, and Sam Brinks for the Packers. On the Cyclone side of things, Brian Peavy apparently somehow didn't get a deal from anybody, but will try out for the Cardinals, and Willie Harvey will try out for the Jags and Browns, Kyle Kemp with the Saints, and Mike Warren with the Bengals, but Matt Eaton has landed with the Packers. Cedar Falls native Ross Piersbacher was also taken in the 5th round by the Redskins. Iowa baseball took 2 of 3 games from Ohio State over the weekend to win its 5th consecutive Big Ten series, and Zeb Adrian earned a Big Ten Player of the Week honors for his contributions. The Hawkeyes have 2 midweek games this week before a big weekend series hosting UC Irvine. Tonight after the show, we're going to have the Twins and Astros on the North Gym, as well as the Sixers and Raptors on the South and Main Gyms.
Colonels are off tonight, but they are home tomorrow, beginning a 6-game homestand, the first of 3 against the Bowling Green Hot Rods. And Bowling Green comes to town with Wander Franco, the 18-year-old player who is widely regarded as the top prospect in minor league baseball right now, the only 3 guys ahead of him at the beginning of the year. all graduated to the major league so far. Vladimir Guerrero Jr., Fernando Tatis Jr., and Eloy Jimenez, who unfortunately is on the injured list now with the White Sox. And speaking of the White Sox, congratulations to another friend of the program, Joel Booker, the former Hawkeye outfielder, promoted over the weekend to AAA Charlotte, now one step away from playing on the south side of Chicago.
Pretty
incredible. Was hitting .351 for the Birmingham Barons, leading the Southern League in batting average.
Can't wait to ask Rick Heller about him when he joins us later this week.
We're going to have Rick on. It really is a great week if you're a baseball fan living in Eastern Iowa, because Wander Franco is going to be in Cedar Rapids Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And then Friday, Saturday, Sunday, UC Irvine, which is one of the top college baseball programs in the country, is coming to Iowa City to take on the Hawkeyes at Duane Banks Field. So if you like baseball this week, weather permitting, and that is always a major qualifier in late April, early May, but weather permitting, we're going to have some good baseball here to watch. Baseball, of course, takes a back seat to the NFL draft, even though the draft is already in the rearview mirror. Our poll question today at KGYMRadio.com, is it too early to start talking about the 2020 NFL draft? Brought to you by our friends at Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast. A couple Hawkeyes projected to go very high next year. But as promised, we'll recap the 2019 NFL draft. First up, the Green Bay Packers. Rob Donofsky of ESPN's NFL Nation covers the Packers, joining us on the program as he has in the past. And Rob, there are a lot of Green Bay fans that look at what Brian Gutekunst did in this draft, and they don't quite see what the angle is here, what the plan is here. What do you see looking back on what Green Bay accomplished over the weekend?
Well, a couple things are clear, Todd. It's that, one, he wants to get bigger and faster, and two, he feels like there's a lot of work that needed to be done on the defensive side of the ball. And if you look at, you know, what Mike Pettine did in his first year as defensive coordinator last year, the fact that they finished 18th in total yards allowed is probably a minor miracle given the lack of talent that they had on that side of the ball. Now, I mean, I sort of said this about free agency as well, because you have to sort of look at it all as one big piece. You know, they spent money on four marquee free agents. Three of them were defensive side of the ball, two of them being pass rushers, and Za'Darius Smith and Preston Smith. And then you have Rashawn Gary, who's, you know, the pass rush guy with the first pick at number 12. And if you're Mike McCarthy, you're probably sitting around going, well, why didn't they do this for me last year? But, you know, that's obviously old news. And, you know, as an offensive head coach, Matt LaFleur, you know, we asked Gutekunst if he was felt pressured to get some offensive players. And, you know, really, he made the point, and LaFleur made the point, that, you know, sometimes the best help for an offense is a really good defense. And it's clear that, you know, they're trying once again to improve the defense. Now, they've tried for a lot of years. This is the eighth straight year, I believe, that their top pick has been a defensive player. So you could argue that it hasn't worked, but, you know, it's definitely a focus of the current regime.
Let's start with the first selection that they made, Rashawn Gary out of Michigan. They signed two defensive linemen in the offseason. Were you surprised that they went that direction with the 12th overall pick?
A little bit. Yeah, I thought they would go defensive tackle, offensive tackle with their first two picks. Now, Gary is not a defensive tackle. He's an edge guy, whether you call him an end or an outside linebacker or an elephant, which is sort of a combination of the two. But, you know, they obviously fell in love with his athletic upside. The problem is that, you know, his production never matched at Michigan. It really never did. So, and then there's the injury thing too with the shoulder. But look, this is a guy who a lot of teams had rated as one of the best athletes at the edge position in the draft, if not the best athlete at that spot. So, you know, for example, he ran a 4.56 40, I believe, which is basically faster than what HaHa Clinton Dix ran as a safety when he was at the combine. I mean, it's just, you know, these are off the charts numbers in terms of athletic ability, you know, from a defensive end position. I want to double check that number. I had it here in front of me. just because it's you know, it is such an unusual athletic number for a guy at that position. Actually, yeah, 4.58 in the 40. I mean, that's remarkable for a 280-pound, 6'4" and a half guy.
Now, the shoulder, you brought that up. There are a lot of reports that he has a torn labrum and is going to need surgery. He says his shoulder's 110% and won't need surgery. What do we know about his health?
Yeah, it might be fine now, but I talked to people around the league who said eventually he's going to need surgery, you know, and I think their hope is that he plays through it this year. But that was the same hope they had for Kevin King, and he lasted, I think, 9 games of his rookie year before his shoulder gave out. Gary insists that it's not a torn labrum. He says it's a subluxation, which basically is the same thing. I mean, we might be splitting hairs here. It sounds like he's going to need shoulder surgery eventually, probably more likely, you know, after his rookie year. But, it's a risky pick, I think. He's an injured underachiever is how I termed it.
Rob Domofsky joining us as we break down what Green Bay did in the 2019 NFL Draft. What did the folks in the front office say about Darnell Savage, the safety out of Maryland, the second of the first two first-round picks?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I had been hearing since February that they love Savage. And in fact, I'm kicking myself for not picking him at number 30 in our mock draft at ESPN.com. But he is as close, you know, from a numbers and physical standpoint to Nick Collins as they've had of any safety that they brought in. And obviously Nick Collins was, you know, a three-time Pro Bowler, a key member of that Super Bowl defense in 2010. And they really have not had anybody that's come close to replicating that type of player. And Savage is, you know, he's really the perfect complement to Adrian Amos, the strong safety that they signed in free agency, the former Bear. And this is a guy who now can play the deep safety position. And, he'll obviously be penciled in as a day one starter. LaFleur said Saturday at the end of the draft that, you know, having a game plan when you're on offense and having a game plan for a safety that can run 4.36 and, you know, covers all that ground is really difficult, basically compared them to, a guy like Earl Thomas, one of the top guys at that position in terms of what he can do to affect the game. So, you know, I think Savage could end up being, maybe the gem of this class.
When they were trading back up in the first round, I was thinking maybe they were going to get one of those tackles, Andre Diller out of Washington State. Yeah. Instead, they go tackle in the second round, offensive lineman in the second round with Elgton Jenkins, who's played all over the place. Some people think he's a center. Some people think he's a guard. Where does he fit in with the Packers?
Well, the Packers said they're going to start him out at guard. Obviously, center, you know, they're pretty solid there with Corey Linsley. You know, they have probably two mainstays on the offensive line with Linsley at center and Bakhtiari at left tackle. They certainly have a wide open right guard competition. That was a position that Justin McCray and Byron Bell split last year. You know, they signed the free agent Billy Turner. He could play right guard, right tackle. They also have Cole Madison. He was gone all last year. That's why I forgot his name. Fifth-round pick last year who didn't play as a rookie. And then on the left guard spot, Lane Taylor, it's not like he's just, you know, got that position locked up. So, you know, of Jenkins, Taylor, the Madison and Turner, you got a couple guys, you know, they're going to compete for those spots. And then eventually, you know, one of those guys, whether it's Elgton Jenkins or Billy Turner, could end up being a long-term replacement for Brian Bulaga, who probably is going into his last year. I wouldn't expect, you know, him to do another contract. He's a good player when he plays, but, he's just got a lot of miles on him and has had some injury issues. I would assume they're grooming one of those guys to replace Bulaga in 2020.
There were a lot of excited Packers fans here in Eastern Iowa thinking with the need for a tight end, maybe Noah Fant or T.J. Hockenson would wind up in Green Bay. They waited 75 picks to take a tight end, but do you see a Jay Sternberger out of Texas A&M fitting in immediately on the offensive side of the ball?
I think he's going to have to. With Hockenson, you know, I didn't think there was any way he'd be there for him at 12. And then Fant, I thought, you know, there's no way he'd be there for him at 30. So I just thought they were in a tough spot to get one of those two guys. But, you know, Sternberger's probably the, you know, him and Irv Smith Jr. were the number three tight end, depending on who you talk to. I think Jace is a good piece for the way they want to do this offensively. He's a guy who has played a lot on the line. You've got Graham, who is more of a lineup in the slot, split out kind of a tight end. So, you know, they want to do multiple things with their tight ends. And, you know, Sternberger is a guy who, you know, the only issue with him is that he really only did it for 1 year at Texas A&M. He was started his career at Kansas, then went to a junior college, and then, you know, just had the 1 year at Texas A&M. But, you know, this is a guy who he runs pretty well. He's got really good size at 6'4", 251, and quite frankly just has a lot of production. So it's going to be, you know, for him, the opportunity to play right away is definitely going to be there.
Were you surprised that they didn't address the wide receiver position at all?
Not really. There were some mocks that had him taking a receiver at 12, which was just, you know, there was no way that was ever going to happen. I didn't even think they were going to take one at 30. You know, I talked to some scouts who, you know, had a pretty good feel for what the Packers were going to do. And these scouts said, look, I don't think they're going to take a receiver anywhere high. I mean, they might take one late, but, you know, they really liked the guys they drafted last year. Production that they got out of Valdes-Scantling and St. Brown, you know, was probably higher than a lot of rookies would do. It's just a hard position to come in and learn. They're getting Geronimo Allison back from injury. I mean, Allison, you know, it was a small sample size, but after four games, he was on pace for like 75 catches and 1,100 yards before he had the groin injury that ends his season. And Rodgers loves him. So I still don't know if they have a clear-cut number two, but I think they've got, you know, a clear number one and then a bunch of guys that have a chance to be contributors. So I wasn't overly surprised that they didn't take a receiver.
What were your thoughts on the other teams in the division and how they handled their drafts?
Yeah, I mean, you spend so much time looking at the team that you cover, especially just how specific it is, that you don't really get the chance to view a ton of it. Obviously, the Bears didn't have a first round pick, and the Vikings ended up with the tight end that, you know, the other tight end, Irv Smith Jr., that I thought that the Packers, you know, might be interested in, and it seems like the Vikings are always trying to improve their offensive line. It's just what they did with their, you know, their first pick. So not a ton of surprises there. And then you heard all along what Detroit felt about Hockenson. So you were pretty sure that was going to be the pick there. It's sort of just, all right, let's wait and see how these pieces fit in. But, you know, I think beyond, you know, looking at the team that you cover on a specific basis, it's really hard to judge these guys now. I think Hockenson obviously is a great pick. It's probably the best pick of anybody in the division, but it should be because they were, you know, they were picking what, seventh or eighth, I think.
Rob, great stuff. You've moved me off the ledge now into the cautiously optimistic category with this draft. We appreciate you taking the time to join us.
Yeah, no problem. And like everything, we'll just have to see how these things play out.
Yeah, Rob Domofsky, ESPN.com's NFL Nation reporter who covers the Green Bay Packers. And we will get to the Bears with Chris Emma of 670 The Score coming up in hour number two. Brian Gutekunst came out and said, Darnell Savage, I think, is the pick that sort of had a lot of people scratching their heads on day one. He came out, Gutekunst came out and said he knows for a fact.
I saw that.
That he was not going to be there at 30. So there was reportedly another team or teams eyeing him. So Green Bay made the move up. They get their tight end with the 75th selection and fill a lot of needs on the defensive side of the ball. And I love that quote. As a matter of fact, I tweeted it out as he was saying it because I knew what direction he was going. But does that not sound like Kirk Ferentz and Brian Ferentz and their approach to the Hawkeyes? Sometimes what an offense needs is a really good defense. And a really good defense can carry or make up for some deficiencies on the offensive side of the ball. Just that seemed very Iowa-esque to me.
It did. I also felt like that was sort of a goal that they're building for, because right now, as Rob said, the fact that they got the production out of that defense that they did last year was a miracle. Because Todd, I don't know, you know better than anybody, but for years and years and years, that side of the ball was just wasting away. There wasn't anything done to help it. And yes, they drafted some guys to try to replenish it the last 8 years, but it just wasn't given the proper attention that it needed, as outlined in that Tyler Dunn piece from Bleacher Report about a month ago. So it's very clear that the front office and the coaching staff has made a clear and concise effort to try to improve that side of the ball, to give it the attention that it needs and deserves.
Rashawn Gary, by the way, will wear number 52, and Clay Matthews taking to Twitter saying, man, the body's not even cold yet. Kind of having some fun with the fact that that uniform number has made its way into circulation again so quickly. Interesting or tough news to hear on the Brian Bulaga front, but I think most people who follow Green Bay and Hawkeye fans that have followed him in the NFL know that that's probably fairly accurate, that we're looking at the final year for Brian Bulaga in Green Bay. He's been unable to stay on the field for the majority of the games the last several years, and such a big, huge guys like that, it is very difficult to stay healthy. And I wish him all the best as he begins the march into his final year with the Packers. And again, not much to recap from a draft standpoint, but Chris Emma of 670 The Score in Chicago will be with us inside the second hour of three here on the Todd Bromwell Camp Show with Alex Kuhn. Right now, though, as promised, we've got a pair of tickets to see Hairball July 6th at the Veterans Memorial Stadium, the home of the Cedar Rapids Colonels. Caller number 6 is going to take those Hairball tickets off our hands right now, 319-366-1600. When we return, Iowa basketball said goodbye to a fan favorite over the weekend. We'll look back on the life and contributions of Kenny Arnold after this.
Come check out the largest selection of pet-friendly flooring products in eastern Iowa and save big during the Randy's Flooring Love Your Pet Sale. Now through May 4th, take up to 20% off pet-friendly flooring products from some of the best manufacturers in the industry. Carpet, tile, luxury vinyl, and much more. If it's a pet-friendly flooring product, it's on sale. The Randy's Flooring Love Your Pet Sale. Visit randysflooring.com to learn more and save big on your next flooring purchase. Now through May 4th.
For every step of achievement,
Christopher Michael Jones.
For every joy-filled laugh, for every dream becoming reality.
Welcome to retirement, honey.
For every moment that matters, Two Rivers Bank and Trust is here. We'll come alongside you for all life's milestones. Because, after all, you're our neighbor. We're more than just a financial institution, and we take our relationship with you seriously. That's why Two Rivers Bank is working on new products and services now that will make your life easier in the future. So, whether you're planning for college, starting a family, or recent empty nesters, Two Rivers Bank will be thinking about your needs before you even know you have them. For every moment that matters, Two Rivers Bank and Trust.
My neighborhood,
my bank.
Find out more at tworiversbank.com. Always gonna be the best day alive. Member FDIC.
Making mom feel extra special is the goal of every Mother's Day gift. So this year, 1-800-Flowers is making it easy with an amazing deal mom would approve of. 1-800-Flowers is offering you the beautiful mom bouquet, a seasonal arrangement of pink roses and white blooms that are artfully hand-arranged by local florists. When you order today only, 1-800-Flowers will double the flowers for free. That's double the flowers for free. This bouquet of pink roses, Peruvian lilies, and white daisy palms are guaranteed to make her smile. 1-800-Flowers local florists have hand-arranged each bouquet with double the flowers to make her feel extra special. The beautiful mom bouquet with double the flowers is an amazing offer, but you have to hurry because it expires today. Trust 1-800-Flowers to make mom feel loved. To order the beautiful mom bouquet with double the flowers for free and for details, go to 1-800-Flowers.com, click the radio icon, and enter code WILL. Again, go to 1-800-Flowers.com, click the radio icon, and enter code WILL. That's 1-800-Flowers.com, code WILL. Offer ends today.
Each morning, people wake and smile when they see the sun. Not the one in the sky, a little picture of the sun on the prescription bottles from CVS Pharmacy. It makes knowing when to take your medication clear as day. Up to 50% of people don't take them properly. So we're just trying to help more people have more mornings. To wake and smile when they see the sun. Not the one on the bottle, the one in the sky. Includes only prescriptions from CVS Pharmacy.
Progressive presents Get Pumped. Inspiration to help you do insurance stuff.
Hey, what's that look on your face? Defeat? You want to save more money? Then start playing as a team. Bundle home and auto with Progressive. That's how you win big savings. What? You need music to get pumped? Let's do this. Hold on, I'm going to turn it up. That's too loud. Yeah, that's better.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
The Toronto Raptors take game one of the conference semifinals. Will the Sixers respond with a game two win on the road?
Tonight, starting at 7 o'clock here on the Gym, 1600 AM, 106.3 FM, KGYM.
Welcome back in. And Tony in Cedar Rapids, the winner of our hairball tickets tonight. Tune in again tomorrow. You'll have an opportunity to take another pair off our hands. Lots more to come on the show today. But as we mentioned going into the break, it was a sad moment over the weekend for Iowa basketball fans, especially of a certain age, as we learned of the passing of Kenny Arnold at just 59 years of age. Kenny had battled a number of health issues over the years, following a brain tumor and then a series of several strokes, which left him struggling to be able to communicate. And Tree Henry, who was a fantastic teammate and a lifelong friend of Kenny Arnold's, was by his side at a little after 4 o'clock in the morning on Saturday as he passed away in Chicago. Kenny Arnold will best be remembered for really elevating his game during the Final Four in 1980 when Ronnie Lester had the knee injury and was sidelined. And you look at what Iowa was able to do with Lester and without Ronnie Lester, and here we are 40 years later. I don't know if Iowa was ever going to, in football or men's basketball, if Iowa was ever going to come closer to winning a national championship than that particular team. And it will always have a special place in Hawkeye lore, and it was great to see Kenny Arnold a couple years ago back at Carver Hawkeye Arena, and those white number 30 t-shirts that his teammates were selling in order to raise some money to help care for him, and the communication system that was devised for him that allowed him to communicate. It was just a really fantastic story, and it's been amazing how that team has kept in touch and really remained such a part of Hawkeye lore all these years later. And certainly our condolences going out to the Iowa basketball family on the loss of a truly great Hawkeye. In other basketball news today, and this is big for the Drake women's basketball program, but Jenny Lillis, Jenny Baranchak, the head coach there at Drake, and the Bulldogs getting a $5 million donation to the program today. It is the largest non-capital gift to a women's basketball program in NCAA history. Comes courtesy of Susie Glazer Burt, a philanthropist here in the state of Iowa. And part of that $5 million is going to go to endowing the head coaching position there to make sure that Jenny's not going anywhere anytime soon, I think. But the Drake women, of course, have been to three consecutive NCAA tournaments. The former Hawkeye has the Bulldogs playing some really good basketball. But you can do a lot with $5 million, especially in women's college basketball. We will take a quick timeout. When we come back, we've got to set the table for the final 2 hours of the program today. And we will get into Iowa spring football, which wrapped up on Friday. Steve Batterson of the Quad City Times, one of a number of guests and topics yet to come. Back with more after this.
Napa Know-How.
You don't have to know fancy terms like ceramic, metallic, and calipers to know that this sound isn't a good thing, And now at most Napa Auto Parts stores and Napa Auto Care centers, you'll get a $75 prepaid Visa card when you spend $250 on brakes. Do it yourself or have it done for you and save $75. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores and Napa Auto Care centers. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 5/31/19.
If you own a pair of Skechers, this ad is not for you because you already know they're the most comfortable shoes on the planet. This ad is for those who have never tried Skechers, for the few who have never experienced the otherworldly comfort of Skechers air-cooled memory foam, ever floated across the ground on comfort pods or experienced Skechers seamless knits. You're missing out. That's like never petting a puppy. So we've made this ad for you. Skechers. Live comfortably. Available at a Skechers store near you or wherever stylish shoes are sold.
It's time for some straight talk. Picture this. Your favorite team is playing. You're streaming the game. 10 seconds left. Your team shoots. Oops, your data runs out.
Look, don't let that happen. Switch to Straight Talk Wireless and get 25 gigs of high-speed data, all on America's largest and most dependable 4G LTE networks.
Join Team Straight Talk and get unlimited talk and text plus 25 gigs of high-speed data for just $45 a month.
Straight Talk Wireless, everything for less, only at Walmart.
First 25 gigs at high speed, then 2G. See terms at straighttalk.com.
4:58, welcome back in a Monday edition of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, set to continue inside the 5 o'clock hour. Chris M. of 670 The Score, WSCR in Chicago, will join us along with Steve Batterson of the Quad City Times. Plus, we will look ahead, yes, ahead to the 2020 NFL Draft. The Athletic has not one but two members of the Iowa football team going off the board in the first round. And not just that, within the first 10 picks. It's never too early to look ahead to the 2020 NFL Draft, or is it? That's our poll question today at KGYMRadio.com. It's brought to you by Emil's Hideaway on 1st Avenue Southeast, behind Taco John's and next to the Home Depot. Speaking of bringing you things, a good opportunity to remind you that Monday's program right here, presented by Randy's Flooring, you can find them in Cedar Rapids or in Coralville on the Coralville Strip. Randy's has been Eastern Iowa's flooring leader for over 40 years. Kyle is going to get you an Alexander Lumber Big Board update also inside the 5 and 6 o'clock hours. Lots more to come on 1600 AM, also heard on our FM frequencies, 106.3 in Iowa City and 107.5 in Cedar Rapids. The Bears didn't have a first-round draft pick, but they still managed to do well this weekend. We look back on the draft with Chris Emma next.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM. KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
Sports Center.
Christine Lisi. Rockets likely pretty fired up after the NBA released its review of Houston's loss in Game 1 to Golden State. The league said officials got two no-calls correct in the final seconds, but they made three crucial incorrect calls in the final 110 of the game, including Golden State's Steph Curry getting away with a personal foul on Houston's James Harden that ended with a turnover with the Rockets down 5 and Harden stepping out of bounds after the contact. Harden should be getting more foul calls, in the opinion of ESPN's Scottie Pippen.
Anytime you make contact with a guy when he's still in the air, that's automatically a call. I don't care if he launched himself at him. You have to give him room to come down. You see guys go to the basket all the time, shooting runners, shooting floaters. They get a foul on that contact, and they're floating. So it's the same situation with a jump shooter.
76ers center Joel Embiid missed the morning shoot-around due to gastroenteritis. He's probable for Game 2 against the Raptors tonight. 7:30 Eastern, ESPN Radio. MRI on Mets second baseman Robinson Cano's left hand negative. He's expected to miss a couple of games and return later this week.
Coming up Tuesday, we'll break down Sixers, Raptors, and Blazers Nuggets. But are the real winners on the court not on a team? And can you believe that Game of Thrones I mean, I did not see that coming. More Tuesday on Golic and Wingo, 6 Eastern, ESPN Radio, ESPN2.
Welcome to Spain and Fitz.
This SportsCenter update was brought to you by Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle. Learn more at ncsei.com.
Because we have so many clients referring us to their friends, I think that's our biggest, best story. Hi, I'm Patty with Network Computer Solutions. I really think it's about us building that relationship and being an extension of their business. And even if I am just talking on the phone to them, you can see that smile on their face and know that another problem is solved.
Call NCS at 247-7223. Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
Your next haircut now has a shortcut. Introducing the Sport Clips Haircuts app. That's right. Now the cut you want is just a tap away. Just download the app, check in at your neighborhood Sport Clips, and choose your guy smart stylist, and you're done. We'll text you when your stylist is almost ready. Then head to Sport Clips for a championship haircut experience. It's home field advantage for your hair. No appointment needed. Just download the Sport Clips app and check in. And don't forget a beard trim. Sport Clips. You choose the cut. We cut the weight.
After a sweep over the Orioles, the Twins stay home. First of four with the Astros comes your way on Monday night. Hi, this is Corey Provis, Jake Odorizzi for the Twins, and Justin Verlander, who was great against the Twins in Houston last week. He'll throw for the Astros on your home for Twins baseball.
Tonight at 7 on 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
5:03, welcome back in. The Todd Brawlkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, presented on Mondays by Randy's Flooring. They'll make sure your next project, whether it's big or small, is done on budget, on time, and most importantly, done right. Their staff of professionals can answer any question that you may have, again, regardless of the size of the project. Find them in Cedar Rapids or on the Strip in Coralville. Randy's Flooring, Eastern Iowa's flooring leader for over 40 years. We'll be talking Hawkeye football with Steve Batterson of the Quad City Times coming up in about 15 minutes, plus a look ahead to the 2020 NFL Draft. I don't blame me. We've got people on the text line who are very mad. They say, give the draft a break. Talk anything else other than Game of Thrones and the draft. No, everybody's talking about the draft. Chris Emma, 670 The Score in Chicago, joining us on the program now. And Chris, how does a team that doesn't even have a first-round draft pick seemingly win the draft? I thought the Bears, if you're looking at the NFC North, I thought the Bears had about as good of a draft as anybody.
Well, first of all, is there anything else but the draft to talk about?
Well, according to some of our listeners, yes. Yeah, you said it.
He said it.
You said it, not us.
You know, you mentioned it. I mean, I think the Bears did have a good draft. It's one where, you know, if you're handing out the grades, I'd take the cop out and say incomplete, wait and see on some of these picks, but Ryan Pace and the Bears drafted from the luxury that they have, a team that's fairly complete, a depth chart that really not many voids to fill. The one thing, and I've been telling you guys for a while, we've been seeing it coming. They were going to get a running back, and I did think they were going to move up to make sure they got their guy. That was the only real, obvious pick, and it was so obvious they took two of them, but you saw later on in the draft, once they got David Montgomery into the fold, addressed that position, and, a key spot on this football team, you saw Ryan Pace go either best player available with a guy like Riley Ridley or taking developmental guys. And, the Steven Detmars and Kerry Thwaites, Duke Shelley, a guy I think has some upside there too. So, the Bears are able to take these kind of developmental pieces because, frankly, if you're drafting from need in the day three and deep into the draft, you're in trouble.
Chris, I had so many people texting me the day of the draft that the Bears need to take my younger brother's former teammate Daryl Henderson out of Memphis, and I kept saying, no, they don't. They need a every-down guy like David Montgomery out of Iowa State. They move up to get him. In the third round, is this the missing ingredient for this team? Because he does pretty much everything that Jordan Howard was not able to do in that offense, including catch the football.
Yeah, I had heard from a source before things started up Friday night that they were going to be trading up. It was just a matter of how they could pull it off, how the board was falling. And I think the guy they did want actually was Miles Sanders, who went 53rd overall to the Eagles. And the Bears liked him. They did a lot of work on him and built a good relationship there. But they knew he was going to be going, at a higher point than they were ready to take. And he even fell a little bit deeper than I thought he would. But he was off the board there. And then who was the next best guy? Who was the guy that fit what they wanted? David Montgomery checked all the boxes for the Bears. And Ryan Pace spoke about it. The guy's abilities on the field. 185 missed tackles the last two seasons at Iowa State is unbelievable. The make-you-miss ability is something that immediately stands out when you watch this guy play. But then you hear the stories about what he did off the field, the way that he works. The desire to be great within this kid is something truly special. You know, the midnight workouts in Ames that inspired his teammates and turned out from just one guy doing it to, you know, a few different teammates to pretty much most of the team, apparently. So this guy's got some special traits that really fit the Bears well. And he's the kind of back that Jordan Howard wasn't, where he can run the routes either out of the backfield or in the, you know, out wide, bring that kind of versatility and that dynamic ability that was missing from Howard, who was just kind of a downhill runner and did not really fit the Bears' offense. So Montgomery is a natural addition. You could see why the Bears were drawn to him and why they wanted to make that move up, and they did.
How quickly do you see him being integrated into the offense? Day one?
Day one, right away. It's, you know, you'll get a glimpse of it at rookie minicamp, but that's more just kind of guys in shorts doing stuff. But when you get into training camp in July, you'll see the way this guy fits. And, you know, obviously he's a young player. He's going to be a rookie getting acclimated. But when you speak with people who have worked with him in the past, this guy works his butt off. I mean, he does so much work. You know, the weight room stuff obviously is legendary, but just being in his playbook or in the NFL, being in your iPad and learning and absorbing everything. The Bears have a very complex offense. And the term you hear a lot from Matt Nagy is being a 200-level player, being advanced beyond just the basics, which is what it takes to have a role within this offense. There's no doubt that David Montgomery can be a 200-level player right away just because of the way that he's willing to work and commit himself to mastering this offense. So maybe there's going to be a little bit of an adjustment in terms of, bringing his game and transforming his game into the kind of role they envision. But he's willing to work for it and make sure he's got this thing mastered. So, it's absolutely going to be a day one thing for him.
Is it safe to say at this point that the consistency of Mitchell Trubisky is going to have a huge impact on just how high the ceiling can be for this offense?
Yeah, without a doubt. I think that's something we kind of thought last year, too, where last year was going to be the litmus test for Mitch Trubisky. And you see where he was going to be after year one with this offense and different playmakers around him. We knew in 2018 that Trubisky was going to be finally revealed, at least some of that potential, and just see what you have in this kid. And I think everything was fairly encouraging. I mean, you know, he earned the Pro Bowl reserve nod, which was, you know, a tip of the cap to the way that he improved from year one to year two. And the way that, similar to what I was saying with David Montgomery, the way that he worked so hard to master this offense. Now it's about taking the next step and making sure that he can be, you know, the kind of, that franchise quarterback here in year three. He did everything he wanted last season, but he's got even more playmakers now. And the offense, you know, obviously it was a terrific season for the Bears, but it was led by the defense, and the offense really had to pick up its slack at some times. This is where it has to change. I mean, David Montgomery is a key piece of that, too, given that they have the right fit and their backfield is not really much of a cluster anymore. They have the 1-2-3 with Mike Davis, Tariq Cohen, and now Montgomery, where this offense should be fairly complete. You saw Trubisky's relationships and that rapport with receivers growing last season. As long as everybody stays healthy and you feel good about what you have on paper, now you have to see what Trubisky can really, truly do and the jump he can make.
Chris Emma joining us of 670 The Score in Chicago. No first-round pick, no second-round pick. Was it sort of more fun for you observing this draft, seeing what the other teams in the division were doing with those early picks?
I got to crack open a couple beers on Thursday night. It was great. You know, it's usually a really busy night from my perspective and being stuck up at Hallis Hall and get to hang out at my place and kind of watch it all unfold. So, that was one of the things I was certainly paying attention to was how the teams in the division moved. I mean, the quick review is that the Packers in that first round, I think they might have, quote-unquote, reached, but they also have a, you know, quality scouting staff where you kind of give it a chance to see the way those guys can play out. I like the Hockenson pick a lot for Detroit, a guy who really fit their system. And though I thought they were going to be going to the pass rusher, right? The way that, you know, Josh Allen and Ed Oliver were sitting there for them to be taken. Josh Allen was gone by that point, but Ed Oliver was still there. They could have added a dynamic player on defense. They chose for it on offense as well. And the Vikings had quantity. I think it was 9 or 10 picks they came away with. They've got a terrific scouting staff, and they've done a really good job of finding diamonds in the rough. So I think everybody in the division seemed to be getting better this weekend.
Chris, I couldn't help but watch the draft, I guess, from a Bears perspective. And I'll ask you this. Is it weird at all watching the draft and seeing all these teams in the NFC North chasing their tail, realizing they have so many holes to fill? And you look at the Vikings, they need offensive line. The Packers had so many holes. The Lions did. And the Bears were just able to address that one glaring need. And it seemed like from there on out, they were taking the best player and sort of taking lottery tickets on talents.
Yeah, you know, and it speaks to the way that organizations are built and also the parity that exists in the league. And the challenge which Ryan Pace addressed with this draft, and something he acknowledged pretty deeply, was the fact that, you know, you got to hit on these picks, and especially in day three, when you're in the Bears position, because they're going to be paying a lot of second contracts here the next few years. And, you know, these terrific guys and rookie deals that they've gotten breakout performances from, you got to pay those guys or you got to move on. You're not going to be able to pay everybody. That's just the reality of being a championship level contender in the NFL. So with that, you have to hit on your draft picks and all of them. When you only have five draft picks, and granted, as you know, obviously Khalil Mack, Anthony Miller, they got what they wanted out of rounds one and two, but when you only have five draft picks, you have to make sure that you're nailing these things. And you also have to be nailing some of these undrafted free agents as well, because your organization and your roster can bottom out pretty quickly if you consistently miss on picks. And the Bears don't have to look far for that example, because that was the hole that Ryan Pace got to inherit when he came in as GM. And look around the division. I mean, that was the doing end of the Packers the last few years. They did not have enough talent and enough key players on their roster where they really bottomed out there. When you get to the lower tier of that 53, you take away Aaron Rodgers from the mix and everything kind of falls apart on you. That was especially true on the defensive side of the ball there. So the Packers were not as great of a hole as the Bears were in when Pace came in, but in a position where they had to, you know, they had to really kind of fill some of these voids through free agency and the draft. And you saw Green Bay spending a lot of money in free agency and looking for some more impact starters in the draft. Ideally, the Packers are able to kind of password things and move ahead with the rest of Aaron Rodgers' prime with that kind of talent that can compete with the Bears. But it's funny the way that these roles reverse.
You mentioned the non-drafted free agent signings. I think I saw 21, 22, something like that. Any names stand out to you that the Bears are bringing in to take a look at?
Yeah, we still haven't gotten the full official list. You know, there's a bunch of guys that had announced through Twitter separately and independently that they've reached those deals. So I still haven't seen the full 21. A lot of different names are out there. A lot of tryouts, too. Especially at that kicker position. One thing that really stood out to me, and I know people are talking about Emmanuel Hall out of Missouri, tight end out of Dax Raymond, that's eluding me there. But the guy that stood out to me was Notre Dame guard Alex Barrs, a guy who I thought was going to be maybe a round five or so type guy if he was fully healthy, maybe even higher if he didn't tear that ACL last year. But The Bears did not draft any offensive or defensive linemen in this draft of their five picks. They took a flag football team. But Barrs is a guy who could potentially emerge as a starter in the next few years. And if you're looking at potentially moving on from Kyle Long after the season or somewhere in 2020, Barrs is a developmental guy who really has a terrific relationship with Harry Hiestand, his coach in Notre Dame. Barrs really credited Hiestand for everything in his development. They also took on the Notre Dame center and Sam Mustipher. So two guys who lined up alongside each other last season now get to come to the Bears. But Barrs in particular is a guy who has a great skill set and really seemed to be getting better under the coaching of Hiestand when he was over there in South Bend. So I think that's an excellent fit, and it's a guy who you kind of look at as an extension of the draft.
The Bears got a lot of credit for that fourth-round selection of Riley Ridley out of Georgia. How do you think he fits into this equation?
Yeah, it's a fascinating pick. Ryan Pace, you all hear the term best player available, but that's truly what it was, because wide receiver, as funny as it sounds to the Bears, is their deepest position probably. They didn't need a Riley Ridley, but they were able to pull it off because that was the guy who stood out to them. They brought him in for a top 30 visit. It wasn't like it was somebody who, I think it surprised them that he was there in round four, but that was somebody they were making plans about taking all along. They really felt strongly about this guy's abilities, and specifically that route running, a skill set and a trait that you don't really value as much at the college level. But NFL personnel, they really love to see that. This guy's a really natural football player. The reason he fell is probably because he didn't have great production at Georgia, but I mean, they've drafted Georgia's leading receivers the last 2 years in Javon Wims and now Riley Ridley, because they know that Georgia likes to spread the ball around and the numbers aren't going to be glowing to you. Ridley has the potential to be an impact player with this offense and potentially this season. And then you start looking down the road, and we were talking about, you know, the cap number and some of the details there. Maybe at some point, I know Allen Robinson was really productive last year, but maybe Ridley takes his place eventually as that top receiver and that go-to guy, because that skill set is terrific, and you really feel the promise that the Bears see in him.
Chris, before we part ways, it was a sad day in Chicago today as they had the memorial service for Chet Kopech, sort of the godfather of sports talk radio in Chicago. I'm assuming that you probably have at least one good Chet Kopech story.
Yeah, there's plenty of enjoyable stories. Mine is like a little bit more personal. When I was really starting out, fresh out of college, I got an invitation to do the show that he had. He was doing a show out of his own home studio, and I was really blown away. I think I was 21 years old or so, and I knew who Chet Kopech was. I knew he was a legend, and you know, I grew up in the area here. My dad loved Chet Kopech, so he was the one that was glowing. My dad was just saying, wow, you get to be a Chet Kopech. This is so cool. And it really connected with me when Chet passed, because I heard so many stories about the way that he really went out of his way to help young people and really help people get into the industry. And I didn't realize it at the time when I was a younger guy, but I think he was really trying to do me a big favor and trying to help me kind of get myself established as a young reporter, then covering Northwestern and trying to, like, you know, arrive on this scene here. And I didn't realize how many more stories there were. So you don't really appreciate it until the end and until he was gone so suddenly. But that one kind of touched me. So I know he'll be missed.
Great stuff, Chris. As always, we appreciate you making time for us.
Yep. Take care, guys.
Chris Emmis, 670 The Score in Chicago. David Montgomery is your top draft pick in the third round, and you still get mostly passing grades on the draft.
What Chris said there, that Miles Sanders was their top guy, I think that in the long run, they're going to be happy that their top guy was selected before them, because, I don't know, I have all kinds of faith in David Montgomery as a starter in the NFL and a guy that could be one of those instant Pro Bowl caliber players in the right system, and Chicago is absolutely the right system for him.
My mind immediately goes to another David and fantasy football a couple years ago, but in Eastern Iowa especially, it was really difficult to get your hands on David Johnson in fantasy football drafts. And you heard Chris say day one, they're dropping David Montgomery into that offense day one. He's going to have an opportunity to not only play, but play a big role on the offensive side of the ball for Matt Nagy. So if you're a Bears fan, have fun with that fantasy football draft this fall, because if you want David Montgomery, the info is out there on him. He's not a secret. You're not going to be able to steal him. I think he's going to be highly coveted.
Tariq Cohen and David Montgomery in that backfield.
They were fine with Jordan Howard and Tariq Cohen, but as you mentioned, Montgomery does things that Howard couldn't necessarily do. David Montgomery is a... Look, if Matt Nagy was going to the drawing board and sketching out what he looks for in a running back in that offense, he's drawing his third-round draft pick out of Iowa State.
The total package. I know that beginning of last year, you sniffed it out pretty quickly, the usage of Jordan Howard. He never fit in. He never fit in Matt Nagy's system. He couldn't catch the ball. He wasn't a threat to split out wide. He was an old school between the tackles runner.
North-south runner, and I think frustrated Bears fans a lot, because one week he'd have 120 yards, and then the next week Matt Nagy wouldn't do anything with him. And a lot of folks were wondering what the problem here is. Well, the problem was he didn't fit the offensive game plan, and when he didn't fit the game plan, Nagy didn't try to force a square peg into a round hole, which I think in hindsight, probably a good way to approach that.
And as a lot of Bears fans have pointed out, when Jordan Howard was in the game, you knew they were going to run the football. There was no mystery. And that is a big problem. If a defensive coordinator in the NFL can narrow the play call down to knowing that a run is coming because a certain football or a certain player is in the game at any given time, that makes their job a whole lot easier.
Your thoughts on anything Chris had to say, 319-366-1600. You can share them with us on the Hertine and Stocker Jewelers text line. We are going to step aside for just a short moment. When we come back, Kyle will bring you a big board update, and we'll touch base with Steve Batterson of the Quad City Times as the Iowa Hawkeyes have officially closed the book on 2019. We'll get Steve's thoughts on last Friday's final practice after this.
The pomp and circumstance, the procession, the cap and gown. Traditions that have changed little since the 1940s. Back then, the great landmark was a high school graduation, or perhaps college. Now it's high school, college, and often graduate school. The students and the exams have changed, but the ceremony and the importance of a graduation day remain the same. Since 1947, the Dickens family has been helping families and friends recognize graduates in remarkable ways. Like a ring that will always remind her of her accomplishments and goals, or perhaps a watch to let him know he's made it. Hertine and Stocker's watch department has many to choose from men and women, including Movado, Seiko, and Tissot. And there's always free gift wrap. So stop by and see what's in those famous windows at Hertine and Stocker Jewelers, corner of Dubuque and Washington in downtown Iowa City. Then step inside and see Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
You've spent a lot of years in sweat working hard. And when you're not doing that, you're focusing on the right things. Your kids, your parents, and paying the bills. Retirement sounds nice, but feels a million impossible miles away. But it's not. Hennings Financial talks with people like you every day. Average folks with a 401k and a bunch of questions. They'd be happy to answer yours. Hennings Financial, a family-owned firm helping regular families retire better. HenningsFinancial.com.
Are you remodeling your home? Do your window sashes show signs of rot, or do you feel drafts through closed windows? Replace those old windows with the all-new Alexander Lumber window line. All the windows in this line come standard with premium features, including a flex screen, lifetime warranties, and much more in an array of colors and finishes. Learn more about this new, affordable, high-quality, stylish line of windows at Answers by Alexander, 1534 South Gilbert Street in Iowa City, and at Alexander Lumber, just 2 miles down the road at 2802 Independence Drive.
Cedar Rapids Colonels, let the good times roll.
Bring your furry four-legged friends to the Colonels this Tuesday for Bark in the Park. Participants must register their dog online at Colonels.com and purchase tickets for you and your dog. All proceeds from the dog tickets benefit Critter Crusaders. Visit Colonels.com and get your tickets now for the best party in town and party at the park with the Cedar Rapids Colonels.
Cedar Rapids Colonels, let the good times roll.
It's hard to get ahead when you start out behind, in school debt, looking for a job in a crowded market. Here's a smarter option. There's a place that will pay you to learn, for real. You get on-the-job training with classroom instruction and get paid and receive benefits the entire time. The apprenticeship program with Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 is like getting paid to go to school and start a solid career. Find out all about this great way to get ahead in life at smart263.org. smart263.org.
The Toronto Raptors take Game 1 of the conference semifinals. Will the Sixers respond with a Game 2 win on the road?
Tonight, starting at 7 o'clock here on the gym, 1600 AM, 106.3 FM, KGYM.
526 NBA playoffs, what? It's draft, draft, draft. Got to get the memo. There's nothing else going on other than the draft in Game of Thrones.
There wasn't any officiating controversies in a very high-profile series in the
NBA.
Not that I'm aware of. Wasn't a star player complaining about the officials, which is ironic because he gets more or the benefit of the doubt from the officials than pretty much anybody in the NBA. That never happened.
Topics that may be touched on after we dive into the 2020 mock draft coming up in just a little bit. Steve Batterson of the Quad City Times set to join us as well. The Iowa Hawkeyes put the finishing touches on their spring football practices on Friday. We'll get Steve's take. But first, time for a big board update brought to you by Alexander Lumber. You can check them out in Iowa City, or if you're in the market for new windows or upgrading the look of the windows and coverings in your home, Answers by Alexander, their new showroom on South Gilbert in Iowa City. Check out more information available online at our website, KGYMradio.com. Alexander Lumber bringing you this big board update.
With the dust settled from the NFL draft, let's run through all of the landing spots. TJ Hockenson went 8th overall to the Lions, Noah Fant 20th overall to the Broncos, David Montgomery went in the 3rd round to the Bears, Hakeem Butler led off the 4th round to the Cardinals, Anthony Nelson went shortly after him to the Bucks, and Amani Hooker shortly after that to the Titans. Nick Easley then signed a deal to study under Cole Beasley in Buffalo, Ross Reynolds is heading to San Francisco, Keegan Render to Philly, Matt Nelson is joining Hockenson in Detroit, Parker Hesse will also try out for Detroit and Kansas City, Jake Gervais will try out for the Raiders, and Sam Brinks for the Packers. On the Cyclone side of things, Brian Peavy apparently somehow didn't get a deal from anybody, but will try out for the Cardinals. Willie Harvey will try out for the Jags and Browns. Kyle Kemp with the Saints and Mike Warren with the Bengals. Matt Eaton has landed with the Packers. Cedar Falls native Ross Piersbacher was also taken in the 5th round by the Redskins. Iowa baseball took 2 of 3 games from Ohio State over the weekend to win its 5th consecutive Big Ten series, and Zeb Adrian earned Big Ten Player of the Week honors for his contributions. The Hawkeyes have 2 midweek games this week before a big weekend series hosting UC Irvine. Tonight after the show, we're going to have the Twins and Astros on the North Gym and the Sixers and Raptors on the South and Main Gyms.
Tough break for the Cedar Rapids Colonels, finding out yesterday after that doubleheader in Kane County that Trey Cabbage has been promoted to Fort Myers, but plenty of talent will be on the field for that 6-game homestand, which begins tomorrow at Veterans Memorial Stadium. Much of it will be in the other dugout. Get out to the ballpark and check out Wander Franco. I am telling you that as a baseball fan and as your friend. If you like seeing the next big thing, he's already been anointed. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. has been in the big leagues for like 3 days. And Jim Callis at Baseball America, formerly of Baseball America, now at MLB.com, says Wander Franco is as close to being the next Vladimir Guerrero Jr. as you can possibly get. So your opportunity to see him the next 3 days in Cedar Rapids as the Bowling Green Hot Rods come to town, and then the Dayton Dragons will come in after that. 319-366-1600. The Hertin & Stocker Jewelers text line, Hertin & Stocker, Iowa City's most trusted jeweler for over 70 years. We will get to a number of other topics, non-draft related, coming up in the 6 o'clock hour, including what Kirk Ferentz had to say after the Hawkeyes wrapped up spring football practices on Friday. And yes, the Game of Thrones / NFL draft crossover that America has been waiting for. Even TMZ could not get enough of George R.R. Martin's thoughts on the New York Giants drafting of Daniel Jones with the 6th overall pick. That is in store for you in the 6 o'clock hour. Steve Batterson of the Quad City Times, though, joining us on the program now as we look back on another edition of Iowa Hawkeye Spring Football. And Steve, What was the big takeaway for you from these couple weeks of Iowa football practices and media availabilities?
Well, you know, I think probably the biggest thing, Todd, was it's spring. You know, a lot of unfinished business this spring for Iowa. And, you know, some of that's just reflective of some of the position battles they've got going on. And, you know, the fact that they've got a couple of spots where you've got some inexperience and some kids that are, you know, trying to work their way into roles. So it was an interesting and fairly quick Friday. It was really a fairly short final practice compared to maybe what we're used to. It lasted only about 90 minutes.
Yeah, did this spring feel extra weird without the spring game? Do we feel like we're any more in the dark than we usually are?
No, I think we saw as much or as little as we usually do during the spring. I think that, you know, the spring games are kind of a dinosaur in a lot of ways. And, you know, typically what we've seen the last few years is more of a glorified practice. And, you know, I think, you know, the Hawkeyes came out, they got their work done, and they called it a spring. 15 practices, only one significant injury that required a surgery. And, you know, I think they were fairly pleased with coming out of that fairly healthy. And you know, I think they probably learned a lot about a lot of guys at different positions on this team. You take a look at the receivers where, you know, you've got a Tyrone Tracy and a Nico Reganey who are trying to establish themselves as viable options in a passing attack that is probably going to be a pretty important component of this football team in the fall.
Where would you say the biggest area of concern for Kirk Ferentz and his staff is heading into the fall?
Well, I think some of the areas are some of the areas that you would anticipate. Depth, certainly on the defensive line, I think is probably a fairly significant concern at this point. You have some experience coming back in those guys that were backing up the four starters that they're all no longer there. But, certainly in AJ and you've got one of the Big Ten's premier players and Chauncey Golston is developing the same thing at the other end. But from what we've seen with, some of the experimentation that has gone on, by moving a linebacker into, what we've been told repeatedly is not a 3-4 look, is part of, Iowa looking to find a way to put its best 11 defenders on the field in some sort of a configuration that will be effective come September.
What do we know about the race for that middle linebacker spot at this point?
Yeah, we know it's a little scrambled. One of the things that Seth Wallace talked about a few weeks back and Phil Parker reiterated last week was that they've done a lot of experimentation there, throughout camp. And, I think they're looking at a couple of veteran guys who've been around now who maybe have gotten a taste. Christian Welch certainly played a little bit there, a year ago. You've got a guy in a Nick Niemann who has some experience as well. Colbert has expressed an interest in moving into that position. And you've got a guy in a Dylan Doyle, a redshirt freshman, a Barrington Wade, who's a junior that have kind of some experience in the system, but haven't had a ton of playing time. And I think one of the things that Phil said last week is they probably experimented more this spring with guys shuffling them around from spot to spot than maybe they ever had before. And I think one of the things that probably is going to take place over the next few weeks is sorting all of that out. Who provided the best look at over the biggest portion of time during those 15 practices and how did that all play out? So, I think there's going to be some position battles that will go into fall camp, and certainly that middle linebacker spot is one of them.
Steve Batterson with us from the Quad City Times. You can read his work at HawkMania.com. What do we know about the backup quarterback battle at this point behind Nate Stanley?
Well, what we know that it's still a battle. And, in Peyton Manziel and Spencer Petras, you've got a couple of guys now who've both been around for a little while. Alex Padilla took some snaps the other night as well. We didn't see a lot of Nate Stanley, but I didn't expect to see a lot of Nate Stanley. They know what they've got there. And I think, what we see is that, in Manziel and Petras, you've got a couple of guys who are certainly, learning. They're certainly not as polished as what Stanley is at this juncture. But that's another area where Kirk basically hinted that it's going to go down to that final week of August to make a decision there. And, I think, ideally what they'd like to see is they like to see one of those two guys maybe create some separation. That hasn't happened yet from what we saw the other night. They both throw a decent ball. They both have, their own abilities. But, as to one of those guys kind of emerging as the number two, that hasn't taken place.
Where do they want to see their starting quarterback take the biggest step heading into his senior season in Nate Stanley?
I think the biggest thing in talking with Nate, the biggest thing he feels like he needs to get out of it is to be able to continue to progress in terms of making quicker reads and working through his progressions at a more rapid rate to, to, you know, deliver the ball a little more effectively, you know, when and where it needs to go. And, you know, that's been kind of an ongoing process throughout his couple of seasons as a starter. And it certainly is probably an area where he needs to kind of ramp up his game a little bit. If he wants to, you know, complete passes at a little bit of a higher percentage than what he has so far. And I think it's probably the next step in his progression as a quarterback as well. I mean, he is a classic Iowa quarterback. I mean, Nate's never going to dazzle anybody with his feet, but he certainly will with his arm. And developing the, you know, a quicker mind, which leads to a quicker release, I think is a part of that game for him.
If you had to pick somebody on the offensive side of the ball to maybe take a step forward or have a breakout season in the fall, who would it be?
Well, I sure liked what I saw the other night of Verghini. You know, I think he's a redshirt freshman. We saw just a little taste of him last year as he redshirted. Great hands, great feet. We saw that on several occasions Friday night. Coaches and players have been raving about him all spring. You know, if he can continue that progression into the summer and into the fall camp, you know, I think he has a chance to really help Iowa grow that receiving core that's going to be a really important component. When you take those two tight ends away from that offense, somebody needs to kind of soak up those receptions. And, you know, I think the most likely targets right now are, you know, would be a Brandon Smith and you know, a Regani, and they're looking for greater consistency from Smith Marset, who had apparently a kind of a hot and cold spring and really didn't even have a target last week.
Does this team have the ingredients to improve the running game drastically from last year? I know that's been an emphasis.
Yeah, it certainly has been. And you would think that with the core of three running backs returning that, you know, you would look for them to maybe have a little more cohesion after, you know, what was really their first full season of significant action. And I think some of that's going to come down to how things settle down up front. You know, it certainly appears that, you know, Tyler Linderbaum is the leader in the clubhouse as far as becoming Iowa's starting center. That allows Cole Banwart to move to a guard position that, you know, he was fairly comfortable at last season. And I think that probably strengthens the front five. You've got, you know, the anchors, obviously, at the tackle positions in Jackson and Worfs. And, you know, for that whole group to kind of be a little more cohesive, I was going to be a team that runs the football. That's what they do, and that's what they try to do. And, you know, the goal is to do that. And you know, despite the fact that the opponent knows what's coming, and, you know, I think Iowa's got the backs to make that rushing attack work. It certainly didn't show on Friday, but going against the same defense for 15 straight practices, they kind of have that down by that point. And I thought Kirk's point that, you know, it looked like Phil Parker knew what was coming before the play was even called. It was pretty accurate, and that's not uncommon in these types of situations. But, you know, certainly the ability of Sargent and Young to kind of, you know, take that next step from a decision-making standpoint, I think it's going to be significant in terms of Iowa's ability to move the ball on the ground.
Steve Batterson with us from the Quad City Times. What do you say to the people out there that were critical of Iowa having two players taken in the first round of the NFL draft and looking back at last year's results saying maybe the Hawkeyes could have accomplished a little more?
Well, I think there's always going to be those games. And, I mean, those are, you know, I certainly think that Iowa got as much out of that offense given the inexperience at running back and certainly the initial inexperience at the receiver positions beyond easily. I think that Iowa grew as an offense last season, and you know, I think a 9-win season from this team, and you know, certainly there were a couple of games out there that they'd like to have back. You think Purdue right off of the top of the head. You know, those things happen, but I don't think anybody on the Iowa offense felt like they conquered the world in 2018, and despite the fact that there were two premier tight ends in that offense. But it takes 11 guys, and Iowa didn't have all those pieces in place last season to have a really special season.
Now, how difficult is it going to be to not necessarily replace all of the production left by those guys, but to find other guys to step up and make plays?
Yeah, that's part of it. You know, and the tight end spot is you know, going to continue to be a part of the Iowa offense. And, you know, it's incumbent on a Nate Wiening to play like the senior that he is. How many times have we heard Kirk, refer to Iowa needing its best and oldest players to be at their best? And, you know, he's going to be given an opportunity initially. Sean Byers, another guy that's going to be counted on to have to, you know, kind of step up and make some plays this fall. You know, those are two guys that have some talent, and I think that, their ability to take a little bit of the pressure off of the receivers and the running backs, I think, certainly only helps Iowa. The more multiple you can look in terms of just diversity and spreading the ball around, I think the better off the Iowa's going to be. And that starts with some development, certainly continued development of guys like Brandon Smith and Amir Smith-Marset and just the emergence of guys at tight end, whoever may end up ultimately being the guy there. Those are all significant things.
Steve, we appreciate you taking the time to join us tonight. It's got to be good to be back at Modern Woodman Park covering the River Bandits, right?
It was nice to have a couple of home games for a change. Yeah, that wasn't a bad way to spend a Sunday afternoon. The weather could have been a little better, but it's slowly but surely getting back to baseball as usual in the Quad Cities, which is a good thing, too.
Well, you'll see me over there sooner rather than later. Steve, we appreciate it as always.
Hey, you bet. My pleasure. Take care, guys.
Steve Batterson of the Quad City Times, and we will hear what some of what Kirk Ferentz had to say on Friday night after the Hawkeyes wrapped up their spring practice. But Steve, when asked, Nico Reganey, the player that he would
Sweet
put,
feet.
Not necessarily, I didn't phrase it, put money on, but I said if you had to take a stab at somebody taking a step forward, having a breakout year next year, who would it be? And Nico Reganey's one of those two receivers that's gotten a lot of love from coaches and fans alike over the last couple weeks. 319-366-1600. You can share your thoughts on Iowa spring football with us on the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line. Hertin and Stocker, Iowa City's most trusted jeweler for over 70 years. We mentioned a number of Hawkeyes moving on to the NFL, a number getting free agent deals or opportunities to work out with teams. Nick Easley with Buffalo, Keegan Render with Philadelphia, Matt Nelson will join TJ Hawkinson in Detroit, Ross Reynolds with San Francisco, Sam Brinks in Green Bay, a place that appreciates a good fullback, Jake Gervais with Oakland, a player from Steve's neck of the woods, Kyle Groenewig with Minnesota, and Parker Hesse has an opportunity with a couple teams, including the Kansas City Chiefs.
That would be there have been people asking, how does somebody go to two teams? Well, mini camp invites go to players who were not signed to undrafted free agent deals. You can go to mini camps next week. Half the teams have their mini camps next week. Half of them have their mini camps the following week. So players who did not get an undrafted free agent deal can go to two mini camps to try to have a better chance of landing with one.
And Iowa State, you look at the six players that have opportunities that were not drafted. You mentioned Brian Peavy as a guy that people were maybe a little surprised to see have to go the undrafted free agent route.
Well, he was actually another mini camp invite, so he kind of fell. I assume it has to do a little bit with his size, not the biggest defensive back, but it's even an extra step when you go that route and don't get that free agent deal. So best of luck to all of those guys. I think for a lot of them, they're just relieved that the entire off-season training, cold world business stuff is all behind them, and they can get to football again. What they're best at.
Is it too early to look ahead to the 2020 NFL Draft? That's our poll question today at kgymradio.com. It's brought to you by Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue. And that's exactly what we're going to do next, because The Athletic has a 2020 first-round mock draft that has not one but two Iowa players not only going in the first round, but within the first 10 picks of next year's draft. We'll tell you who and where when we return after this.
Come check out the largest selection of pet-friendly flooring products in eastern Iowa and save big during the Randy's Flooring Love Your Pet Sale. Now through May 4th, take up to 20% off pet-friendly flooring products from some of the best manufacturers in the industry. Carpet, tile, luxury vinyl, and much more. If it's a pet-friendly flooring product, it's on sale. The Randy's Flooring Love Your Pet Sale. Visit randysflooring.com to learn more and save big on your next flooring purchase. Now through May 4th.
For every step of achievement,
Christopher Michael Jones.
For every joy-filled laugh, for every dream becoming reality.
Welcome to retirement, honey.
For every moment that matters, Two Rivers Bank and Trust is here. We'll come alongside you for all life's milestones. Because, after all, you're our neighbor. We're more than just a financial institution, and we take our relationship with you seriously. That's why Two Rivers Bank is working on new products and services now that will make your life easier in the future. So, whether you're planning for college, starting a family, or recent empty nesters, Two Rivers Bank will be thinking about your needs before you even know you have them. For every moment that matters, Two Rivers Bank and Trust.
My neighborhood,
my bank.
Find out more at tworiversbank.com. Always gonna be the best day alive. Member FDIC.
Hi, I'm Katie Nolan, host of Sports with me, Katie Nolan. It's a weekly podcast where we talk about all of the sports, kind of, and then other things.
I'm very anxious suddenly. Ew. Nobody cared or paid attention to our show, but you notice, like, people are paying attention in a way that's like, okay, all right. So now when I say something that normally I'm like, I didn't, like, mean it, and there's articles written about it, you're like, oh.
So tune in. You can listen and subscribe in the ESPN app, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen to podcasts. So you should do that.
The great thing about facts, they're proven. Like the fact that crude oil contains impurities. Or that base oil made from natural gas is 99.5% free of impurities. And the fact that Pennzoil is the first synthetic motor oil made from natural gas, not crude oil. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil. Based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30. Available now at Advance Auto Parts.
Right now at O'Reilly Auto Parts, pick up 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil for $28.95 and get a $10 O'Reilly gift card by mail. Protect your engine from sludge and wear with Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Limits apply. See store for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
The weather's heating up, which means it's the perfect time to get that next job done. At AutoZone, we have the free services you need to do it right. Like our free AutoZone Loan-A-Tool program. It's simple. You choose from over 100 specialty tools, borrow the one you need, and get the job done right. The best part? It's all free. Our tools even come with operating instructions, so you'll know exactly how to use them. Getting the job done just got easier. Let us help you at more than 5,600 locations nationwide. Deposit required. See store for restrictions and details.
Get in the zone. AutoZone.
After a sweep over the Orioles, the Twins stay home. First of four with the Astros comes your way on Monday night. Hi, this is Corey Provis, Jake Odorizzi for the Twins, and Justin Verlander, who was great against the Twins in Houston last week. He'll throw for the Astros on your home for Twins baseball.
Tonight at 7 on 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
Had a proud, two proud dad moments, as a matter of fact, over the weekend with my son. We were in the car on the way back from Iowa, coming back from Iowa City yesterday. And we were listening to the Cubs take on the Arizona Diamondbacks, which I think that game is still going on, if I'm not mistaken. But the first proud dad moment, and my son from the back seat shouting that he needed to go to the bathroom. So we were able to pull over and make an emergency run into the gas station. And luckily, there were no accidents, but an even prouder moment. One of the commercials on the Cubs broadcast featured Go Cubs Go, and from the back seat, my not-quite-3-year-old son started singing Go Cubs Go, and not just that portion of the song. He got a little bit into the second refrain, and just warmed my heart. And then we got home and told Mom all about it the entire day, blow by blow, word for word. Everything that we did, every step that we took, everything we looked at, everything we did. 319-366-1600. It was a great weekend, capped off, unfortunately, by the fact that he was awake at about 2:30, 3 o'clock and wanted me to climb into bed with him. But this kid's little beady eyes in the dark and the smile on his face as I'm crammed into the bed next to him, trying to keep him happy. That's what it's all about. We asked you rather facetiously whether it's too early to look ahead to the 2020 NFL draft.
Never.
Never
too early.
Dane Brugler at The Athletic has a 2020 mock draft available. The Athletic is a subscription website. We often have Scott Docterman on the program who covers the Hawkeyes for The Athletic. No surprise. Well, sort of a surprise here because Josh Rosen's going to get Josh Rosened again if things play out the way that Brugler has things, because he's got the Miami Dolphins taking Tua Tagovailoa out of Alabama. So this would be the second year in a row Josh Rosen gets presumably replaced, but that's okay. He can go worry about environmentalism or something.
You know what? Maybe he should just do that rather than playing in the NFL. Side note, sorry.
Two Hawkeyes, not just in the first round of the first 2020 mock draft, but in the top 10 picks. You mentioned you could probably guess one of them. That's A.J. Epenesa.
Yes.
Number 4 overall. He'd be the highest drafted Hawkeye since Robert Gallery, if my memory is correct. A.J. Epenesa at 4 to Buffalo. He wrote, "It was impossible not to notice Epenesa and his combination of power and body control when watching the Hawkeyes' defense last season. He tied Ohio State's Young for the conference lead with 10.5 sacks in 2018 and led the team with 16.5 tackles for a loss. What Brugler doesn't point out is he did all of that without starting a single game. As Hawkeye fans know, he has yet to start a game in his college career." The surprise here may be, Alex, Tristan Wirfs.
It's interesting.
Number 7 to the New York Giants. Saquon Barkley would certainly appreciate a guy like Tristan Wirfs on the offensive line there. Iowa continues to pump out premier offensive linemen and tight ends. If he continues on his strong play from last season, Wirfs absolutely has top 10 potential. He's a powerful drive blocker in the run game and stays balanced in pass protection, not allowing speed to stress him.
He's going to be a very interesting prospect. I think he's going to be one of the more polarizing prospects within NFL circles next year. So I'm very excited to see what type of year that he has, because all the NFL scouts are going to look at the strength and say, okay, we can build something here. But there are some issues with his game right now and with some of his skill set to where they might have to tinker with some things, but they don't usually worry about that. Seven overall that's very high.
There's no way I would bet on Tua Tagovailoa being the number one overall pick in the draft right now, especially if Lawrence comes out early at Clemson.
Well, he's going to be a sophomore next year, so he will be ineligible.
Is he not eligible?
He was a true freshman last year.
Okay, that's right. He didn't redshirt. Well, then I rescind my comment, and we'll start looking ahead to the 2021 mock draft. You can read Dane Brugler's piece at theathletic.com if you're a subscriber. Totally worth it. We will take a quick timeout. When we come back, we will let you know what's in store for the third and final hour of the program on a Monday afternoon, being presented by Randy's Flooring. Back with more after this.
Hi, I'm Katie Nolan, host of Sports with me, Katie Nolan. It's a weekly podcast where we talk about all the sports, kind of, and then other things.
I'm very anxious suddenly. Ew. Nobody cared or paid attention to our show, but you notice, like, people are paying attention in a way that's like, okay, all right. So now when I say something that normally I'm like, I didn't, like, mean it, and there's articles written about it, you're like, oh.
So tune in. You can listen and subscribe in the ESPN app, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen to podcasts. So you should do that.
Wedding season is upon us, and the easiest way to look fresh for the big day is with theblacktux.com. The Black Tux has awesome suits and tuxedos that you rent online. With their free home try-on, you can see the fit and feel the quality of your suit months before your event. After ordering, it will arrive 14 days before your event. Stand out for the right reasons with the Black Tux. For $20 off your purchase, visit theblacktux.com and enter code SPAIN. That's theblacktux.com, code SPAIN.
Time to replace your vehicle's battery? Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts for the Do It Right rebate. For a limited time, purchase a Superstar Premium, Extreme, or Platinum battery and get up to a $15 O'Reilly gift card by mail. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Limits apply. See store for details.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
When you join the Fuel Rewards program at Shell, you'll never pay full price for gas again.
Even if my car horn sounds like this?
Sure.
Even if I always blast techno in my car?
Yeah.
Even if I drive for miles with the turn signal on?
Of course, even then. It's time to save 5 cents per gallon or more on every fill, every day with instant gold status. Visit FuelRewards.com to join now and save today. Active gold status required. See FuelRewards.com/gold for details. At participating Shell stations only. Limit 20 gallons.
The Toronto Raptors take game one of the conference semifinals. Will the Sixers respond with a game two win on the road?
Tonight, starting at 7 o'clock here on the Gym, 1600 AM, 106.3 FM, KGYM.
Sometimes things just work out for you, as they did for David Bote, Ben Zobrist, and the Cubs yesterday against Arizona. Details on how that transpired coming up in the 6 o'clock hour. Also, you will hear, in his own words, Iowa coach Kirk Ferentz, as the Hawkeyes close the books on the 2018 season, and get ready for the 2018 school year is officially in the books. The Hawkeyes will head into the fall with some questions to answer, and Kirk addresses a number of spring football topics coming up in the 6 o'clock hour tonight. All that and the Game of Thrones NFL draft crossover that you haven't necessarily been asking for, but you're going to get anyway, because a non-sports person has sports thoughts, and you're going to get them, courtesy of the creator of Game of Thrones, which everybody is talking about today. Because last night was one of the most highly anticipated moments in that show's history. And it's a show that I don't watch, but I'm not going to hold it against you if you watch it, as long as you don't hold it against me that I don't watch it. All that and more coming up inside the third and final hour, plus another Alexander Lumber Big Board. It's all on the way as the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn continues after this.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM, KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
BN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Christine Lisi. This just in, 76ers center Joel Embiid. A game-time decision for Game 2 tonight against the Raptors because of gastroenteritis. Amir Johnson's been added to the active roster in case Embiid can't go. Game 2 coverage, bottom of the hour, ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. In what is likely very little consolation to the Rockets, the NBA released its review of Game 1 from Sunday night, determining the referees got two no-calls correct in the final seconds of the Warriors' win, but three calls were deemed incorrect in the final 110 of the game. That included two that would have resulted in Golden State's Steph Curry fouling out. Curry made a key three with 24 seconds remaining, and the focus on the officiating should make for a fascinating Game 2 tomorrow, says ESPN NBA analyst Kirk Goldsberry.
They're gonna keep their whistles down, or they're gonna blow the whistle, and you're gonna have the Warriors losing their minds because they're gonna get that call three or four times. And like I said, in a game where it's 4 points one way, 4 points the other way, two or three of those calls decides the game, dude. And that might happen.
Kirk Goldsberry on the Will Cain Show. The NBA has fined Rockets guard Chris Paul $35,000 for making contact with an official in Game 1. Coach Greg Popovich negotiating a new contract with the Spurs. There'd been some speculation about whether he'd return for a 24th season in San Antonio. Baseball, Brewers slugger Christian Yelich not in the starting lineup tonight against the Rockies due to lower back discomfort. Yankees infielder DJ LeMahieu with knee inflammation is listed as day-to-day. Red Sox DH J.D. Martinez returns from back spasms tonight versus the A's. First pitch coming up on ESPN TV.
The NBA playoffs continue. Game 2 of the Raptors and 76ers. Coverage begins tonight at 7:30 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app. Presented by Indeed.
Each morning, people wake and smile when they see the sun. Not the one in the sky, a little picture of the sun on the prescription bottles from CVS Pharmacy. It makes knowing when to take your medication clear as day. Up to 50% of people don't take them properly. So we're just trying to help more people have more mornings. To wake and smile when they see the sun. Not the one on the bottle, the one in the sky. Includes only prescriptions from CVS Pharmacy.
Wedding season is upon us, and the easiest way to look fresh for the big day is with theblacktux.com. The Black Tux has awesome suits and tuxedos that you rent online. With their free home try-on, you can see the fit and feel the quality of your suit months before your event. After ordering, it will arrive 14 days before your event. Stand out for the right reasons with the Black Tux. For $20 off your purchase, visit theblacktux.com and enter code SPAIN. That's theblacktux.com, code SPAIN.
The great thing about facts, they're proven. Like the fact that crude oil contains impurities. Or that base oil made from natural gas is 99.5% free of impurities. And the fact that Pennzoil is the first synthetic motor oil made from natural gas, not crude oil. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil. Based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30. Available now at Advance Auto Parts.
6:03, it is the third and final hour of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, presented on Mondays by Randy's Flooring. Randy's has been Eastern Iowa's flooring leader for over 40 years and is a proud partner of the UI Stead Family Children's Hospital. You can learn more by visiting their website, randysflooring.com, or check out one of their two Eastern Iowa showrooms in Cedar Rapids or in Coralville. On the Coralville Strip. Lots more to get to over the final 60-plus minutes tonight, including the Game of Thrones NFL draft mashup that you didn't know you needed, but you're going to get.
I'm excited for this. I have not heard it.
We're going to bring Kyle into the studio here. I want to see whether this can be done or not. We're going to put Kyle on the clock here. Kyle, Game of Thrones, you're very much into Game of Thrones.
Yes.
If I put you on the clock, for those of you like listening to the program like me who are not into Game of Thrones, if I put you on the clock and I gave you a minute to explain this TV show, which is a global phenomenon, unlike any we've seen for quite some time, I'm thinking the Breaking Bad and The Sopranos, but this just seems way over the top. I don't know whether it's an HBO thing or because people are into the books, but if I gave you a minute without spoiling too much of the show, could you give Alex a minute? Because Alex isn't, you're not watching. Well, you sort of started to watch.
I've watched like five episodes.
You were on like episode five,
I know,
two weeks ago.
The playoffs, the NHL playoffs.
Stanley Cup playoffs. Okay, out. That's fine. You're on hiatus. That's okay.
I'm on hiatus. You got to prioritize.
Well, as long as it doesn't take you like 2.5 years the way that it did for Game of Thrones to get all caught up here. If I gave you a minute, could you give for the non-Game of Thrones people a complete synopsis of the show? What the show is about in a minute without, say, spoiling too much?
I think I might be able to get close, especially...
Do we have the clock? Okay.
No spoilers almost makes it easier.
Okay, here we go. Kyle is going to not spoil the entire story arc of Game of Thrones.
All right. So the whole series, we're introduced, we're in Westeros, and we're basically, we dive right into a time during the Battle of the Five Kings, and that is a battle for the Iron Throne. There are several different factions. There's a lot of betrayals along the way. Factions are formed, more betrayals, and so it's kind of about the Iron Throne, but then along the way, you kind of get these seeds that there's a much larger issue looming, and basically, that builds for seven seasons. And we got that payoff last night. And so it got very sci-fi-y, it got very fantasy and fiction-y, but now we're getting back to the other half of the story, which is very just political, very human, and very dramatic. It's really kind of a two-pronged show, and we just completed one of the phases.
And there's incest and zombies and dead people.
Okay, here's what I do know.
And you dragons.
Know, the main tagline, winter is coming.
And wolves.
Now, winter,
wolves.
Seasons, summer lasts years and years, right?
Yep.
Winter, the last winter was what, like 20 years ago? 15, 20 years ago?
Yeah.
And it was brutal. Or 10 years ago. It was a long time
ago.
So in the sci-fi world, there's not winter every year?
No.
They're inconsistent. Each season lasts like an indeterminate amount of time. So the first night that Alex was referring to was actually thousands and thousands of years ago, and it was terrible.
And she just stabbed him. She just murdered him. Oh. And he didn't have any of his guards with him. What the hell was that all
about?
Honestly,
man, I don't know. He did walk up all on his own. Although, to be honest with you, like, I won't dive into the whole thing. If I was in his position, I would have been walking by myself, too. Everything had turned up Mr. Night King.
Green Bay Dustin on the text line says, I still don't know what it's about after that. Well,
it's that was as good of a synopsis as you can possibly
incest,
get.
With no spoilers.
Zombies.
With no spoilers.
Incest, zombies.
Long seasons.
A little person. And a guy in a wheelchair.
Just a bunch of different...
He's named Bran.
Bunch of different...
That's all I know about
groups
it.
Of people.
Could be alive, could not be alive. I don't know. Don't watch the show. But if it's your thing, if it's your thing, then live it up.
Hit me up on the text line. I'm bored.
Live it up. 319-366-1600. We will bring you the Game of Thrones NFL draft mashup that you didn't realize you needed, but you're going to get anyway here in the 6 o'clock hour. This is exactly what the good folks at Randy's Flooring have signed up for on Monday's programs. Let's go ahead and get into Kirk Ferentz's comments after the open. Well, it wasn't an open practice on Friday. The media and family members of the Iowa football players were able to attend. Everybody else was on the outside looking in. Kyle, who was just in the studio with us, was able to go down there and take in the practice and sit in on Kirk Ferentz's comments afterwards. Here are some of the highlights of what Kirk Ferentz had to say after Iowa concluded its spring practices on Friday night.
Two guys I would mention would be Nico and Tyron Tracy at the receiver position. I think both those guys have shown growth, and it's really critical with Nick Easley graduating. Mm-hmm. So that's a big void for us, and I think both those players made really nice strides.
Everyone looks at the receivers you lost, throwing easy with the two tight ends, but do you feel, you mentioned two guys, as the whole group, do you feel pretty good that Nate's going to have some guys to throw to?
Yeah, we're going to have to, and those two players really, I think we're all more confident, and the teammates will be confident in them, and I think outside we've seen some growth also. Brandon had a really good spring. Amir's in and out a little bit and does some good things, so we're going to have to keep pushing forward there. And then, Nate Weeding was healthy this spring and had a good spring. Sean Byers in and out a little bit, but I think he's got good promise. And, realistically, I mean, we're not going to have a first-round player, I don't think, come out of our offensive skill position next fall. But collectively, I think we have a chance to be okay. And, you know, that's what it all gets down to. As long as everybody does their takes care of their roles, we have a chance to be okay.
Did your two starting tackles offense make the progress that you wanted them to make this spring?
They did. Tristan, somebody fell on him, I guess it was 2 weeks ago. So, but up until that point, he was really practicing well. And then AJ has had, I don't know if it's a foot or an ankle, but he's had some soreness. He's practiced through that. I think both those guys have really stepped forward. And yeah, they were good players coming into the mm-hmm. spring, but I think they have improved. There's no sitting back at all. Those guys really practiced well.
As a coach, you sit there and think, is it possible that Nate has only one more year left? As a coach, does that time go that fast for you?
It does go that fast. It's scary. Yeah, it's too bad we didn't have the four-game rule, when he was a true freshman. Yeah. But that's the way it goes. But, you know, the big thing is that we've had two really good years with him and really excited about next year. And he's working hard at it, like you'd expect and like you'd, you know, think he would. So he's doing a really good job.
It looks like you're gone beyond experimentation with the stand-up end. Not going to call it a 34, yeah, okay. but just a stand-up guy. Yeah. What do you like about that, you know, especially because you have an abundance of athletes at linebacker?
Yeah, I mean, the whole idea is to get the best guys out there. And we're pretty sure who our top four defensive linemen are right now. And those guys, I think, collectively all did a good job this spring. They took steps forward. But you do the math on it. You know, we're not real deep outside right now. We'll get help when Zach gets in here. That'll be an additional player to help us. And that was the whole idea when we recruited him. But, you know, now it's a matter of putting guys out there that might have a chance to play. So that's the next step. Unfortunately, Amani is out. But he was the first guy that we moved there. And one pleasant surprise, and I'm not ready to ordain him by any stretch, but Joe Evans, a walk-on. He's really been a feisty, you know, showing good energy and toughness out there this entire spring. So we're fooling around with him out there. And, you know, so it just gives another guy an opportunity to get out there and play a little bit against some good players and see what they can do. And, you know, the bottom line is next year we want to get our best four and then our best eight on the field. And if it means it's a linebacker, it means it's a linebacker. We'll just kind of see how it goes. But that's, you know, the downside of losing two guys that are pretty good players in Parker and Anthony.
Amir, in terms of the receiver rotation, I know he's been out a little bit. Mm-hmm. Coach Copeland, he's been inconsistent. Where is he in your mind in terms of the receiver?
That's probably a fair categorization of him. And, you know, that's his challenge, I think, right now, like any player's challenge. And Brandon's trying to do the same thing, you know, going into your third year now. So how much improvement can you make? And he's an explosive player. He's demonstrated that, you know, statistically showing up on kick returns. So how can you translate that to the receiver position? And to me, it really gets down to consistency. And, you know, he's got an ability to take it all the way. He's also got an ability to, you know, have the ball out here and the ball come flopping out like it did on the sidelines in the bowl game. So, you know, you expect some unorthodox things from younger, inexperienced players. But now, you know, as you get into your third year of the program, you hope to really learn how to demonstrate consistency and performance. And I think that's a big part of becoming a better football player. And if our older guys aren't doing that, then we're not going to have a good football team.
Quarterbacks, a lot of run tonight. Have you seen any?
Yeah, it's kind of the same things as kickers. That's one of the positions I think right now it's really up for grabs. If they can beat Nate out, that you know, I'd do some soul searching there if I was Nate. But yeah, I just don't see that happening. But yeah, somebody's a snap away from being in the game. So yeah, we wanted to keep it really open. And Alex is, you know, coming along. You know, those guys, their heads are always spinning, just like Petrus last year at this time. But he's done some good things, and we want to give him some work and get a feel for what he's wired. So, yeah, I think all three of those guys right now are in competition. But realistically, it's going to be Peyton and Spencer fighting it out, I think. But, you know, who knows? If Alex can move by them, that's fine, too. There's no horse in the race. It's just letting guys compete.
After spring, how do you feel about your running game? That's an area that I know you want to see better.
You know, some days it's looked good, some days not so good. But I think, you know, a big part of that is getting the line settled in a little bit. We've got a lot of unknowns there, I think, in the line. You know, a lot of variables that could take place, and we'll let those guys compete. But I really feel good about both of our two backs that we mentioned earlier, both Torin and Makai have really practiced well. They've improved. So that's a good place to start. You know, if you got backs that can make good reads and hit it, that gives you a chance. And then hopefully we'll be, you know, better as we go along here with the offensive line and the other blocking, the tight end perimeter blocking. I like doing an open house or a, you know, public venue type practice. Mm-hmm. Spring games, as you know, we got away from them for a while. Then we got back to them in 13, I think, with the crazy scoring system, which I still don't understand. I did see one even worse this spring. I thought it was an NBA game for a minute, and I said, oh, no, it's football. But anyway, so, but I would, yeah. I mean, in the future, we'll be in Kennedy.
Yeah.
If not the last Saturday, the next last Saturday. I like that. I think that's good for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not, you know, I mean, whether we get 10,000 or 80,000, well, I guess we can't get 80, but like that's not that big a deal to me.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's kind of like
the team looking great in the spring, that's not that big a deal.
Right.
A lot more important to have it in the fall.
Right.
But I do. I think it's important to get out there and let the fans see the team and, mm-hmm. you know, do autographs and all that stuff. That's all good stuff.
A little highlight of what Kirk Ferentz had to say after Friday's final practice. I'm trying to think. I think it was a Big Ten team that he was referring to there, because I caught glimpses of a school that was in the hundreds, the offense versus the defense or something like that. But I can't remember what school the spring game format. That seemed to be a little bit of a dig at Greg Davis there. The former offensive coordinator Davis was the one who was at the helm when they came up with that scoring system for explosive plays, and it was very hard to keep track of. And I don't know. I wanted to throw that last one in there because there are some people out there that are wondering about the future of the spring football game, and Kirk seemed a little noncommittal there. Anything that you took away from what he had to say there, any of those clips, 319-366-1600, the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line available for you to reach out to us here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids.
Well, the first clip that we led off with, just, it feels like the hype train for Nico Reganey and Tyrone Tracy is out of, it has left the station, and there's no going back. Now, Brian Ferentz, of course, comes out and says, I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to believe it until we see it in the game, sort of putting a damper on Kelton Copeland and his media availability a couple of weeks ago, where he called both of them electric. And then literally the first person that is brought up by Kirk Ferentz, the head coach, the first two people, I should say, are Nico Reganey and Tyrone Tracy. So the ability is there for those two. And I think that more than anyone, when the next time we get a glimpse of this team, people are going to have their eyes on those two, because it's one thing to hear about ability. It's another to see it.
Well, it's going to be a while before we see them.
Right. It's going to be a few months.
Late July will be Big Ten Media Day. We still won't have seen anything by then, and it's going to be early August by the time that they have that open Kids Day practice that they usually have at Kinnick Stadium. So between now and then, let your imagination run wild, which could be a good thing or a bad thing.
Or people are just going to go back and watch the high school highlights of both of those two.
There are some question marks about the offensive side of the football. There are some question marks about the defensive side of the football. And there are some question marks about special teams, thus making Iowa just like every other team in the country. You don't think Nick Saban has some question marks to figure out at Alabama, or Dabo Swinney,
yes,
at Clemson?
Which
Dabo
five-star recruit do we
Dabo
put in
with
next?
His new deal? Remember, there's not enough money to go around for the players.
How much money did he get? $90 million?
A ridiculous amount of money.
Over 10 years?
His grandchildren's grandchildren are set for life. 366-1600 again is the number to reach us. We did have somebody on the text line bringing up Hakeem Butler of Iowa State, one of two Iowa State players drafted, David Montgomery going with the Bears in the third round, and then Butler with the first pick in the fourth round?
Yes.
To
yes,
the Arizona Cardinals, 69-36, trying to make sense of why Butler got first-round consideration. I think it had more to do with Baltimore needing a wide receiver than anything, because all of the Butler first-round mocks that I had seen, it was Baltimore every single time, and they ultimately got their receiver. It just wasn't Hakeem Butler, and there's a knock on him, very similar to Devin Funchess when he left from Michigan for Carolina, that he doesn't have the best hands in the league. And, well, if you're looking at a skill set that you want to have, or a trait that you need to have if you're an NFL wide receiver, good hands.
What's the other one? What's the next one?
Speed.
That he has. I'd say the third one, route running ability.
The ability to run routes.
And that
crisp,
was an
crisp route running.
That was another knock on him. I think that he was probably in that second or third round range, and did you see the way the draft went? As Dan Shanka, who joined the gym class, said earlier today, a lot of those second round grades were pushed back. A lot of those first round graded players got moved to the second round. And then once those guys got to the second round, a lot of the second and third round grades got pushed to the fourth round.
Well, when
and Hakeem Butler was one of those guys.
Cleland Farrell goes four overall, and you start names get pushed down the draft. And I think what we lose sight of, and I don't ever want to say what people lose sight of, because it makes it sound like we're on a high horse here in an ivory tower, and we're not. So what we lose sight of is that while a player looks like he could be a second-round talent, teams are usually drafting for their respective needs. And so if you don't need a wide receiver, you're going to pick at a different position, and teams will continue to fill those needs until they get around to addressing the opening, or, quite frankly, the value is just too good to pass up at any certain point. So you can look and say, and how can this guy still be there at the end of the first round? Well, it's because certain teams needed offensive linemen, certain teams needed defensive linemen,
Raiders and the Giants.
And the Raiders and the Giants, who made some very interesting decisions.
I was watching the third day of the draft, and there were a lot of really good names still out there. Hakeem Butler was one of them. The first two picks of the fourth round, it was very clear that the teams were shocked that both of those guys were there. The funniest part of all of that was when Ryan Finley was taken with that second pick in the fourth round, and there were several. I'm trying to remember who the draft analyst who said this was, but they said I had him as a clearly better prospect than Daniel Jones. Like, markedly better than Daniel Jones as a prospect, who went 6th overall, and the Bengals selected Ryan Finley with the second pick in the fourth round.
So that's what Alex thought about the NFL draft. But have you found yourself today wondering what Game of Thrones creator George R.R. Martin thinks about the 2019 NFL draft? Well, if you answered yes to that, you're in luck. Because when we return, Game of Thrones superfan Kyle is going to bring you a big board update, and then George R.R. Martin himself weighs in on the New York Giants selecting a quarterback at number 6, and not just any quarterback, Daniel Jones out of Duke. Spoiler alert, George R.R. Martin's not a huge fan of the pick. Back with more after this.
You've spent a lot of years in sweat working hard, and when you're not doing that, you're focusing on the right things, your kids, your parents, and paying the bills. Retirement sounds nice, but feels a million impossible miles away. But it's not. Hennings Financial talks with people like you every day, average folks with a 401k and a bunch of questions. They'd be happy to answer yours. Hennings Financial, a family-owned firm helping regular families retire better. HenningsFinancial.com.
Cedar Rapids Colonels, let the good times roll.
Bring your furry four-legged friends to the Colonels this Tuesday for Bark in the Park. Participants must register their dog online at Colonels.com and purchase tickets for you and your dog. All proceeds from the dog tickets benefit Critter Crusaders. Visit Colonels.com and get your tickets now for the best party in town and party at the park with the Cedar Rapids Colonels.
Cedar Rapids Colonels, let the good times roll.
People think that I'm not a big firm, I'm not a large company. What would anyone want with my data? But you don't know. Client credit cards, employee information, it's all critically important, and it needs to stay secure.
Hi, I'm Patty with Network Computer Solutions. If you ever have a question about how secure is your network, give us a call. We can certainly do an audit.
Call NCS at 247-7223. Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
At Menards, nobody beats our prices, so you can save big money on all of our lawn care products. Spectracide Weed Stop for Lawns kills more than 400 types of weeds without hurting your lawn. Right now, you can get a 40-ounce bottle or a 32-ounce ready-to-spray bottle of Weed Stop for Lawns. Your choice, $4.99 each. Plus, a Menards gift card is perfect for Mother's Day. Stop in and save through May 5th during the Menards Spring Catalog Sale.
Save big money at Menards.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Iowa Army National Guard. Aired by the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
Tune in to KGYM Fridays during the gym class for the announcement of our Athlete of the Week. Proudly brought to you by Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 of Eastern and Central Iowa.
After a sweep over the Orioles, the Twins stay home. First of four with the Astros comes your way on Monday night. Hi, this is Corey Provis, Jake Odorizzi for the Twins, and Justin Verlander, who was great against the Twins in Houston last week. He'll throw for the Astros on your home for Twins baseball.
Tonight at 7 on 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
6:26, welcome back in, and the calendar says it's April 29th. It's essentially summertime here at the KGYM studios, and what that means for us, another season of Lunchbox Heroes. That's right, back for another year of providing lunch for hardworking folks in the construction industry across the corridor in both Cedar Rapids and Iowa City, as well as the surrounding areas. You can get more details on Lunchbox Heroes at our website, kgymradio.com, but the first Lunchbox Heroes stop of the year is this Wednesday in Iowa City, and I know how much our entire staff is looking forward to that. 319-366-1600, George R.R. Martin's thoughts on the first-round draft for the New York Giants. If you thought it was just you questioning the Giants and what they were doing in the first round, no. The creator of Game of Thrones also has questions about what Dave Gettleman was doing with the first round of the draft. But first, George R.R. Martin's biggest fan, Kyle Mann, bringing you another Alexander Lumber Big Board update.
With the dust settled from the NFL draft, let's run through all the landing spots we ended up with. TJ Hockenson went 8th overall to the Lions, Noah Fant 20th to the Broncos, David Montgomery went in the 3rd round to the Bears, Hakeem Butler led off the 4th round to the Cardinals, Anthony Nelson went shortly after him to the Bucks, and Amani Hooker shortly after that to the Titans. Nick Easley then signed a deal to study under Cole Beasley in Buffalo, Ross Reynolds is heading to San Francisco, Keegan Render to Philly, Matt Nelson's joining Hockenson in Detroit, Parker Hesse will also try out for Detroit and Kansas City, Jake Gervais will try out for the Raiders, and Sam Brinks for the Packers. On the Cyclone side of things, Brian Peavy somehow didn't get a deal from anybody, but will try out for the Cardinals. Willie Harvey will try out for the Jags and Browns. Kyle Kemp with the Saints and Mike Warren with the Bengals. But Matt Eaton has landed with the Packers. Cedar Falls native Ross Piersbacher was taken in the 5th round by the Redskins as well. Iowa baseball took 2 of 3 games from Ohio State over the weekend to win its 5th consecutive Big Ten series, and Zeb Adrian earned Big Ten Player of the Week honors for his contributions. The Hawkeyes have 2 midweek games this week before a big weekend series hosting UC Irvine. Tonight after the show, we're going to have the Twins and Astros on the North Gym, as well as the Sixers and Raptors on the South and Main Gyms.
So here's the deal. I'm waking up this morning, and I'm trying to figure out how do you incorporate Game of Thrones into the show today, because everybody is talking about the Battle of Winterfell last night, and there are just 3 episodes remaining. And all of a sudden, I come across a blog post from George R.R. Martin, the creator of Game of Thrones, who apparently is also a big New York sports fan, Ian Tyler Ryan. Maybe he's going to be on WNML, the sports animal, in Knoxville, Tennessee. But if you go to George R.R. Martin's website, there's a link to his blog. He's blogging about a number of things, including a blog post published April 26th, entitled Day One, in which he takes a look at not only the New York Jets first round draft, but the Giants. And I just, it was so surreal. I had to double check and see to make sure that this is actually him and not some parody or somebody pretending to be. No. George R.R. Martin, the guy who wrote Game of Thrones, apparently a big fan of both New York sports teams. This is what he had to say about, he liked the Jets pick of Quinn and Williams, by the way, as did I. We had Tyler Ryder with us on Friday, Tyler Ivins of WNML in Knoxville, Tennessee, and I thought Quinn and Williams was a great pick for the Jets. George R.R. Martin, in his own words here, on Dave Gettleman and the New York Giants' first-round draft selections. This is the creator of Game of Thrones. Daniel Jones from Duke at number 6? Yes, they need a young quarterback to groom as Eli's successor. But Dwayne Haskins was right there. Why not him? I don't follow college ball, but by every measurable, Haskins is way better than Jones. Jones threw 52 touchdowns in 3 years at Duke. Haskins threw 50 in 1 year at Ohio State, with fewer interceptions. That's a typo there. Against much tougher competition. Dave Gettleman must have seen something in Jones that no one else could see. But even if you accept that, taking him at 6 seems insane. He would have been there at 17. Gettleman, this is an aside here for me. Gettleman says that's not the case. Why not take Josh Allen or one of the other defensive studs at 6 and Jones at 17? Makes much more sense. Who else was going to nab him? The Skins? The Skins preferred Haskins. That was common knowledge. Everyone in the world except the G-men preferred Haskins, so far as I can see. And if you're Dave Gettleman and you're reading that and you're thinking, man, I just got massacred by George R.R. Martin, at least he liked our second pick. Wait, there's more. And then we get to number 17, the pick the Giants got for Odell. What did they pick there? A huge 342-pound defensive tackle out of Clemson. Very, very strong, they say. Not going to get a lot of sacks, but terrific against the run. Who does that sound like? It sounds like Snacks Harrison to me, who the Giants cut in midseason because, all he did, and that's in quotes, was stop the run. He didn't get sacks. After his release, Big Blue spent the rest of the season getting gashed by runs right up the gut. Had to fix that, so to fill the Snacks hole, we draft Young Snacks. All it cost us was a Hall of Fame receiver. Okay, this is fascinating to me on a number of fronts. A, George R.R. Martin doesn't strike me as the type of guy who I would peg as a sports fan. B, he said pretty much in different terms, but exactly what you said about the Giants' first-round picks last week on the program. And C, I like the passion there. He's got the Game of Thrones thing is over, right? I know he's writing the last book or he's finishing the last book. He could go the sports talk radio route.
See, let's get back to B and what you just said. This is scary, Todd, because I thought coming in on Friday, man, I got the insight here.
Handed out a new nickname,
Young Snacks. Snacks Harrison, Damon Harrison is who he's referring to, the guy that the Giants cut midseason last year. This is scary because the creator of Game of Thrones had basically the same take that I did, which means, what does this translate to saying that he could take my job? That if he decided, you know what, Game of Thrones, this whole thing's wrapping up, wanted to make a couple extra bucks here or there, he could join this radio station and be the host of the show?
Oh, I definitely think he could put both of us out of work if he decided to slum it here in Cedar Rapids. And
can we get confirmation that he doesn't want to do that?
His lavish East Coast lifestyle behind.
Oh, okay. Never mind then.
Now, the fascinating thing here, the blog, is at the very end, there's a place where he posts his current mood. And the current mood after writing that blog post is depressed. And it says, comments permitted, but only on NFL football and the draft. He is not interested or was not interested in addressing anything Game of Thrones related. This is
only
just days before the most highly anticipated episode of the TV show based on his writings ever. He's only interested in bitching about the New York Giants and the fact that they blew two first-round draft picks. So George R.R. Martin is just like you, and he's just like me. I hated the Packers draft, and the Game of Thrones creator, not too big of a fan of what the Giants did. He did, however, give credit to the Jets, calling it overall a very solid pick, taking Quinnen Williams, a quote-unquote monster Alabama defensive tackle. Lots of analysts had ranked him as the best player in the entire draft, so he seems a good get.
I hope that Daniel Jones has a good career in New York. I really do. But whenever I see this type of thing happen where it was a clear and conscious effort to prove that you're smarter than everyone, that this is your guy and nobody else's, and we got to take him at number six to prove everyone else wrong. How often does that work out well in your favor if you're not the New England Patriots?
What's interesting here, there are 29 replies to this blog post, and one of them is from a gentleman whose first name is Mark. He says, do you think the Giants should be addressing their need in regards to their horrendous O-line? And George R.R. Martin replies to him. Actually, the O-line is not horrendous. It started rough last season, but gelled by year's end. The only remaining weak spot is right tackle. I had hoped they would fill that hole with a high pick, but maybe that late round pick will be the answer, or maybe they will find a walk-on or free agent. But he doesn't seem to understand the difference between college, and that's fine. He's way more successful than I am. Barring injury, the current line is not great, but they are much improved over the 2017 season, and the longer they play together, the better they should get.
He's right.
This is fascinating to me.
He's a huge football fan. He's an invested football fan.
There are people out there who love this guy, and they want all this information about Game of Thrones, and he's giving you a direct conduit to him, and all he wants to talk about is the offensive line of the New York Giants. And he's going to shut you down, and he's going to delete your comment if you ask him anything about the Battle of Winterfell. I'm getting pulled in.
Does this mean you're
going to
watch the show?
Hell no. 6:38, we need to take a quick timeout. When we come back, just because I know it's going to upset a number of people, we will talk Cubs baseball after this. Back with more after this.
Come check out the largest selection of pet-friendly flooring products in Eastern Iowa and save big during the Randy's Flooring Love Your Pet Sale. Now through May 4th, take up to 20% off pet-friendly flooring products from some of the best manufacturers in the industry. Carpet, tile, luxury vinyl, and much more. If it's a pet-friendly flooring product, it's on sale. The Randy's Flooring Love Your Pet Sale. Visit randysflooring.com to learn more and save big on your next flooring purchase. Now through May 4th.
For every step of achievement,
Christopher Michael Jones.
For every joy-filled laugh, for every dream becoming reality.
Welcome to retirement, honey.
For every moment that matters, Two Rivers Bank and Trust is here. We'll come alongside you for all life's milestones. Because, after all, you're our neighbor. We're more than just a financial institution, and we take our relationship with you seriously. That's why Two Rivers Bank is working on new products and services now that will make your life easier in the future. So, whether you're planning for college, starting a family, or recent empty nesters, Two Rivers Bank will be thinking about your needs before you even know you have them. For every moment that matters, Two Rivers Bank and Trust.
My neighborhood,
my bank.
Find out more at tworiversbank.com. Member FDIC.
When you join the Fuel Rewards program at Shell, you'll never pay full price for gas again.
Even if my car horn sounds like this?
Sure.
Even if I always blast techno in my car?
Yeah.
Even if I drive for miles with the turn signal on?
Of course, even then.
It's time to save 5 cents per gallon or more on every fill, every day with instant gold status. Visit fuelrewards.com to join now and save today. Active gold status required. See fuelrewards.com/gold for details. At participating Shell stations only. Limit 20 gallons.
Nothing is more important than protecting your family and property. That's why you should make a free call right now to Vivint, the number one smart home services provider in the U.S. Vivint will make your home safer and more secure with a state-of-the-art system that's so simple to use. Vivint smart home specialists provide award-winning monitoring of your system 24/7, 365 to respond to any emergency, even when you can't. And with the 4.5-star rated Vivint smart home mobile app, control your entire house from anywhere. Locks, cameras, security system, all at your fingertips on your mobile device. Call Vivint now and get a free quote, professional installation, and full smart home service for as little as $2 per day. Equipment purchase or service agreement required. Conditions apply. Call now. A smart home is a safer home. So protect your family and your property, home or business, with a Vivint smart home system.
Call 800-510-7517. That's 800-510-7517. Call now. 800-510-7517.
The weather's heating up, which means it's the perfect time to get that next job done. At AutoZone, we have the free services you need to do it right. Like our free AutoZone Loan-A-Tool program. It's simple. You choose from over 100 specialty tools, borrow the one you need, and get the job done right. The best part? It's all free. Our tools even come with operating instructions, so you'll know exactly how to use them. Getting the job done just got easier. Let us help you at more than 5,600 locations nationwide. Deposit required. See store for restrictions and details.
Get in the zone. AutoZone.
The Toronto Raptors take Game 1 of the Conference Semifinals. Will the Sixers respond with a Game 2 win on the road?
Tonight, starting at 7 o'clock here on The Gym, 1600 AM, 106.3 FM, KGYM.
6:42, welcome back in. It is the final segment of a Monday edition of the program. Mondays on the Todd Brummelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, presented by the good folks at Randy's Flooring. They've been Eastern Iowa's flooring leader for over 40 years. You can learn more about all of their offerings at randysflooring.com. Happy Lee Elia Day to Cubs fans of a certain vintage. 36 years ago today, the manager of the Cubs launched into one of the most glorious, profane-laden tirades in sports history, not just baseball history, but all of sports, captured on tape by Les Grobstein and replayed every April 29th on pretty much every Chicago media outlet. Lee Elia ripping into Chicago fans after a loss at the hands of the Los Angeles Dodgers at Wrigley Field. The Cubs winners last night in extra innings in Arizona on the heroics of Ben Zobrist, who comes through with the big hit. Zobrist originally supposed to be in the lineup yesterday, but he went to Joe Maddon and said, "You shouldn't have me in the lineup today." The reason that he did that was David Bote had two home runs the night before and was not in the lineup, and Zobrist said, "You got to play the hot bat. Put Bote in the lineup." So Zobrist is on the bench for the entirety of the extra inning affair. Then he is placed into the lineup, and he ultimately comes through with the big hit. The Cubs are off tonight, and that's not the only baseball news to get to today. You have to be incredibly frustrated, Alex, as a Cardinals fan, over the latest development with Alex Reyes.
I have to be honest, I haven't seen it.
He's broken his finger. A finger in his non-pitching hand, his left hand, because after his last outing in Memphis, apparently he punched something.
Interesting. Well, he was struggling down there, and I was going to be interested to see how quickly they tried to bring him back. They weren't getting the returns that they wanted out of him, and right now it'll be interesting to see where he fits when he comes back, because that bullpen is starting to find themselves, and he's going to have to earn his way back into a role for a team that's playing very, very good baseball.
Outside of Major League Baseball, an interesting weekend in the NBA postseason.
The Golden State Warriors Do I have to say anything after that? The Golden State Warriors.
There may be one or two people listening right now who have no idea what happened.
Well, they won.
They were busy with Game of Thrones.
They beat the Houston Rockets in Game 1, and Houston was none too happy with the officiating in Game 1. Now, you've heard on some of our SportsCenter updates that the NBA releases their report of officiating in the final 2 minutes of a game, and there were three missed calls, according to NBA officials, and there were also three non-calls that the Rockets thought should have been calls that the NBA has come out and said those were correct non-calls. But I have no time for James Harden complaining about officiating. I really just don't. This is a guy who gets his benefit of the doubt.
This is a guy, oh, sorry.
Consistently from NBA officials. And the complaint was that the Warriors were not giving him enough room to land a landing spot on jump shots. So your best complaint is that they're closing out on you? Like that's what you have? And I know that there's a letter of the law right now in the NBA that you have to give a person a clear spot to land. And for the most part, there were a couple where it was questionable. But James Harden, of all people, consistently gets the benefit of the doubt on traveling calls, on his resetting his dribble, on non-double dribble calls. It's ironic to me that he's the one complaining about this. And Chris Paul made contact with an official, and he was fined $35,000 after his ejection.
Two technical fouls and booted with 4.4 seconds remaining in that four-point loss to the Warriors yesterday. As you mentioned, $35,000 fined by the NBA. And we will see where this series goes. There's certainly some intrigue there, though. Now, I still think we're headed toward the inevitable, but we shall see. The 76ers and the Raptors play tonight. That's a 7 o'clock tip-off on TNT. It's game 2 of that series. Toronto is up 1-0. And the Trail Blazers and Nuggets, Monte Morris and Denver, getting their series underway tonight in the state of Colorado at 9:30. How about an update on the Stanley Cup playoffs?
Well, the Blues and the Stars are tied at 1 game apiece. And looking at ahead, those two teams are the only ones in action tonight. So they play tonight at 7 o'clock. They are the only game on TV tonight. Tomorrow, the Blue Jackets and the Bruins are squaring off. They're also tied at 1. The Sharks and the Avalanche are tied at 1. So a lot of these conference semifinal matchups are tied at 1, except for the Carolina Hurricanes. They lead the New York Islanders 2-0. But this has just been such a weird playoff.
Poor Tyler.
They swept the Penguins in the first round. And you look at the field that is left, it's anyone's game.
The odds, which we did not get to last week in the program, but the Stanley Cup odds going into the second round of the postseason were all over the place. There was not a heavy favorite to be had on the board. Speaking of heavy favorites, Dallas, for entertainment purposes only tonight, is about a 122 favorite on the money line over the Blues at home to take a 2-1 advantage in that series. But as we know, it's the Stanley Cup playoffs. Anything can happen.
And the Blues have been road warriors so far this postseason, and they just need to get one to send it back to St. Louis, and they would have 2 games at home. But it is truly some of the most intriguing television that you can watch if you're not a hockey fan, because you have no idea what, and just the randomness of this entire postseason, a bounce here, a bounce there, literally makes the difference between teams that still being in the playoffs and teams being on the golf course at this point of the season.
We go from the NFL draft to the next draft. People will be overanalyzing the NBA draft, which is coming up. CBS Sports has its latest mock draft available, and Talen Horton Tucker of Iowa State mocked with the final pick in the first round, the 30th selection, going to the Milwaukee Bucks. CBS Sports writes, Horton Tucker, one of the youngest players in this draft, which is part of the appeal here at number 30 for the Bucks, upside and long-term prospects. He likely won't be the yin to Giannis's yang anytime soon, but he has a promising NBA future as a playmaker and combo guard. So from the NFL draft to the NBA draft, and no word on whether George R.R. Martin is a New York Knicks fan.
Hopefully.
And will be weighing in. It is, I think, a Carson Edwards going to the Celtics.
First round, right?
Number 20 in the first round. I would be here for that. The Spurs mocked with Bol Bol out of Oregon, player that we became familiar with as Iowa played Oregon in the 2K Classic. And Romeo Langford staying in the Hoosier State, drafted by the Pacers at number 18.
So that would theoretically give the Pacers two former Indiana Hoosiers leading their team.
In theory.
Victor Oladipo and Romeo Langford, both of sort of the same skill set.
The top three picks in the draft, according to CBS Sports, Zion Williamson, perhaps you've heard of him, going number one overall to the Knicks, followed by R.J. Barrett to the Cavaliers, Williamson's teammate at Duke, and Ja Morant out of Murray State, falling to number three, the Phoenix Suns. The Bulls, the Chicago Bulls, picking fourth, mocked with North Carolina freshman point guard Kobe White, as Kyle shakes his head at that. It's just a mock draft.
I just look at this draft, and there are three really good players, and just are really two really good players.
It's like the NHL draft. It's like the NHL draft this year. Like, it's a two draft lead, and if you've got the third pick, what do you do?
Right. I know that they're saying the Cavaliers wouldn't take another point guard because Colin Sexton's been really good for them, but it all depends on which way the ping pong balls bounce. Are you really, think R.J. Barrett is a better option? But like you said, it's a mock draft. And I think the lottery is on the 14th, right? The 14th of May?
That would be my wedding anniversary. I think I know what I'll be doing that night, and it's not paying any attention to the NBA draft.
I'm doing you a solid. It's on a Tuesday.
There you go. It's Tuesday. What is this? I don't even want to do the math on this. It's going to get me in trouble if somebody's listening right now. Don't worry. They aren't. It's 6:53, and that's going to do it for a Monday edition of the show. Again, a thank you to our presenting sponsor, Randy's Flooring, Eastern Iowa's flooring leader for over 40 years. Coming up on the program tomorrow, more draft reaction. You cannot get away from the NFL draft. We're just going to recap the draft for as many days as we possibly can, and soon enough, it will be September and college football will be here. Back with more tomorrow. When you-